Hey, are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, ready, right? Me and you? Everybody?
Great. I'm ready. What? Ready for what?
Oh, no. Not this again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm working hard as ever at a number of things. But there are some things I quit quite a while ago.
Screw you guys. I hate you. I hate you all. Die, die, die. Go to hell.
How about the basketball game?
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
Well, that's very nice of you to say that. Do you do any work on honeymoons?
I don't even. What's the point of that?
Insensitivity. Sam Anderson.
And now, there are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Our feature presentation.
Is that the monkey just walking
in? Yeah,
He's
all bummed that you caught him.
That's getting it pretty close right there, my friend.
I've been here for about a half hour.
Yeah.
Just doing production.
Just word aware when the show started.
Right.
Well, I hate to start off the show on a down note. You know that. You know I'm Mr. Positive. I'm Mr. Optimism. I'm Mr. The Glass is Half Full. That's what you guys know about me, right?
Yeah.
To a fault. We can't take it anymore how positive you are.
And I am. We are going to take your phone calls for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew for Tuesday morning at 1-800-520-1067 on any topic. You know, this economy, every day there's more bad news, more layoffs, more companies in jeopardy of going out of business. Have you heard the latest?
Pretty broad question. I don't know. Probably not.
Krispy Kreme is close to going under.
No.
Now,
wow, that hurts.
Look, if Chrysler goes out of business, as is rumored soon, I'll live because there's lots of other places I can buy cars. If Rite Aid goes under, which is being predicted now, the drugstore chain, there are other drugstores I can go to. There's only one Krispy Kreme, and it's 50% of my diet. I mean, you guys know I'm 50% hot Cheetos, 50% Krispy Kreme. I mean, that's my body, right?
That's a hell of a diet right there.
Oh, it's good. I'll tell you, I look forward to every meal. That's for sure.
Sure.
But Krispy Kreme, you guys remember when Krispy Kreme, when they started expanding and went on the stock market a couple of years ago, wasn't that long. It had to be like 5 years ago or something like that. People were lining up around the block for hours every time a new location opened. People were so excited with it. And now it looks like they're going under. Dude.
This is not a surprise to me. Unfortunately, the one by my house closed, I don't know, a year ago.
Maybe. Oh, did it really?
Yeah. And I don't know why then, but...
Well, I think they overexpanded. That was part of their problem. I think they expanded too quickly. I hadn't read that somewhere.
And I think they got hurt right at the time they opened, when they started going wide, I mean, as Lisa likes to say. that's when the Atkins diet started and everybody was off of carbs, too. I think that hurt them for a while. But you'd think that, you know, people would bounce back into their bad habits. Like, you know, guys like me would keep them afloat.
Right.
But well, you're not
I'm doing
your
my
part.
Share.
No, I beg to differ.
50% of my diet is Krispy Kreme. How much more can I do?
I don't know. When you're down here, I never see you bring us Krispy Kremes.
Oh, he didn't say he shared.
Oh. Well, maybe he should have.
Said he eats it.
It's not that I don't stop by and get a dozen every morning that I come in, Lisa. It's just that they're gone by the time I get to the station. That's
oh, I
all.
See. Okay.
Other businesses on the list, by the way, that just came out yesterday that are likely to close maybe as soon as this year include Dollar Rental Car, Thrifty Rental Car, Blockbuster Video, that's no surprise.
Yeah.
Six Flags, I mean, it's unbelievable. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of jobs now if all these companies go under.
Wow.
And that's just because no one's going to those places?
It's because consumers don't have any money.
Right.
They're not spending like they used to. And these businesses have huge debt. This is what's happening is these businesses have so much debt and they don't have enough money coming in to service the debt. So and they can't get any banks to lend them any money because, you know, the way the credit is right now. So they end up not being able to make payroll. And the next thing you know, they got to start closing locations and firing people. And then it's only a matter of time before they're out. They're gone.
Wow.
Bummer, man.
You are a positive guy.
I'm just saying. Some businesses you go, well, too bad for them. Sorry to see that. But then Krispy Kreme comes in and then it hits you where you live. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Bean probably knows everybody that works at his Krispy Kreme. And
probably does.
Talks to him all the time. They go, you talk to him. I don't talk. You ring him up. I don't want to ring him up.
Sometimes I'll go to Krispy Kreme and I'll get something to eat on the way to the other Krispy Kreme where I'm going to get something else. So
well, you didn't do that enough, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much more I can do. I feel like I've done my share. It's other people who are dropping right. the ball. So go out there and get yourself a Krispy Kreme today, folks. Seriously, do it.
And a Chrysler.
and buy yourself a Chrysler. Exactly.
It's 5:34. It is Tuesday, the 10th of February, Yola. And time for your phone call.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
I think we're doing our part by continuing to buy and sure. give away hot Cheetos as the prize for Kevin Bean's What It Do, Nephew. It's the number one selling extruded snack in America, don't you know? A family-sized bag of flaming hot Cheetos. That's what you get for calling us now at 1-800-520-1067. I will warn you, though, many listeners have emailed to say, guys, I started the hot Cheetos after I heard you talk about it, and now I'm hooked. I can't stop eating them.
Yeah. Well, that's a dangerous snack. They're a very dangerous food. Let's start with Josh in Fontana. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, how's it going? Actually, on my way to work. I'm not in Fontana right now, but
all right.
Thank God.
That's important. Appreciate that update.
What's up?
Yeah, just to let you know.
Okay.
Yeah, Krispy Kreme is the worst donut. It's the most overrated donut, and it's great. They're leaving. Goodbye. That's all I gotta say, Josh.
How's it feel to be so wrong?
What?
Yeah, nope.com. Thanks for the call.
Nope.
Yeah.
He says he's not in Fontana, yet his brain is, obviously.
Yeah. Just sad.
Let's go to Melody in Long Beach and keep the good news coming. Hey, Melody.
Hey, what did you do, nephew? What did you do, baby do?
What did you do?
Hey, I just wondered if you guys heard about Jeremy Lusk, the Metal Militia writer. He had an accident on Saturday night, some sort of event in Costa Rica, and he just passed away last night at 11:03.
Dude, what happened at the event? Something that caused his death?
Well, he was doing a flip, and I don't know if his bike stalled or whatever, but he didn't quite complete the flip. And it looks like he went down on his handlebars and on his head.
God. That's one of those things that when they try that in competition, if they miss, it can be deadly, obviously. It can be horrible. Yeah.
It's amazing this doesn't happen more, really.
Yeah, most of the time, you know, they seem to somehow miraculously pull through it, but not this time.
Oh, how sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Thanks for bumming us out. Now I need to go to Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, it's her fault.
Did you guys watch any of the Winter X Games? Because they've got snowmobiles now. They're doing backflips and
Just
a lot of bizarre stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh, that sounds like
fun.
All
right, let's go to Dirt. Dirt is
really?
Calling from Torrance. Hey, Dirt.
Hey, good morning. What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
Hello, Lisa Mary.
Hi.
Hey, just calling to let, basically, Bean, I emailed you about 4 months ago to let you know about your dogs that I knew you were going to have problems with them about fighting.
Right.
I want to give you a tip about that. Okay, what's basically happening is I believe it's a Veruca that's having the dominant factor is happening. She's coming into her own.
Right. Right.
In order. One of the things, the finger in the butt, that's actually a good thing.
Nope. I'm sorry. That's got to be another way. What else you got?
Now, let me bring people up to speed about what Dirt's talking about. Is that a trainer that I saw over the weekend, I asked the question, what do I do if with all the good training that I'm also doing to show Tater Tot has dominance in the household as the older female, what do I do in the event that Veruca bites her and clamps on and won't let go? I'm the only one there. There aren't two people to pull the dogs apart. You've got one dog clamped on the other dog. How do I get her to release? And the answer was, put a finger in her butt, and that will get her attention, and she will open her jaw, and you can lift her off of Tater Tot. And you're saying that's good advice or bad advice, Dirk?
That is actually one good way, because what it is it puts the shock factor into the dog, and it does release the hold on the dog.
Nope.
Okay.
One of the other things you can also do is, actually, this is before the aggression starts to build up.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do is put your hand on the more aggressive dog's neck, either on the throat or the back of the neck, and just kind of pin the dog down. Like the dog whisper's talking about, similar to that, until the calmness over the dog is gone.
Yeah, I do that all the time when things get out of hand. I roll her over on her back. And
does that seem to
work? And hope that diffuses the situation.
Are we still talking about training?
Yes.
We are.
Good.
somewhat.
Thanks
well,
for calling.
I hope, you know, this works out for you, you know. But, yes, I, like I said, I mean, finger in the butt is a thumbs up.
I never, ever wanted to hear that phrase on this show or any other.
That sentence has probably never been said before.
Let's squeeze in one more. I want to hear from Todd in Redondo Beach because he's got a claim that I want to hear him back up. Hey, Todd, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What to do?
What to do, baby boo?
What to do, Todd?
So every single member of the broadcast news media is communist, including Bean, because all they do is talk about the minor. Well, I understand there might be layoffs, housing prices might be falling, but they talk about very minor stuff to talk about the economy, like. I was listening to the news yesterday, and they're saying United Airlines is getting ready to charge for pillows and blankets. It's like, and they go, because of the recession. It's like, does all of that need to be said? Can we ease off just a little bit? People are still buying a few things every once in a while.
Define communist first. You just mean bad, right?
I'm not understanding your point. Are you saying you see too much coverage of the bad news of the economy? Is that what you're saying? And people should be concentrating on what people are buying and spending money on?
Absolutely.
Well, and that's not news.
I'm going to define communism as those that don't like the free enterprise and forward progress in the economy.
Okay.
People still do buy stuff, and if you ease off just a little bit, how can people focus on positivity when there's so much negative that's talked about in the radio, Bean, or the television?
Yeah, it is mostly my fault.
We're actually creating the recession.
It is.
We are. It's mostly my fault that the economy is going under. You are right. All right, good point. Thank you very much for the call, Todd. We appreciate it.
Insignificant things like Chrysler shutting down. I mean, come on.
That's no biggie. I went out and bought food today. Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
At least I bought food today. There you go. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
We have a woman on the program today who has had 7, 8, 9, 15, 25
nine.
Breast implants.
And they're almost big enough. I was looking at those pictures last night. Like one, maybe two more surgeries, she'll start to look really good.
I think that's our goal is to cause one more surgery. Doesn't seem like it'll be that hard, but 38 triple Ks.
Loving it!
I don't know that they're big enough yet. I mean, I think that's our point. It's 38.
She's starting to look good, though.
So she's a loser so far.
She's on the way.
A loser and a quitter.
She's on the right road.
Concerned.
She's on the right road. She's just not there.
All right.
That's all. So we're going to talk about that. We got Ralph's Video Vault today.
Is going to be good.
Bringing in highlights of the new Jessica Simpson movie, Private Valentine's Blonde and Dangerous.
Oh yeah.
By the way, Kevin pointed this out to me years ago. I didn't realize it. The sign of quality is when a movie goes direct to DVD.
Straight to DVD.
I used to think it was in the theaters first. Now I understand that straight to DVD means more people get to see it and own it faster. That means it's better.
Going to have more conversation about Bean's dog trainer and putting your finger in their butt. Because to me, that's a sign my dogs just need to fight. At that point, so you just go, well, work it out. I'll be back.
That's good.
I'm going to Krispy Kreme.
Then all of a sudden you're Michael Vick and you don't feel very good about yourself.
Also, we are going to give away more tickets for the Kevin and Bean Horrible Singles Party.
Yeah, it's coming up Friday.
I don't think we're saying this right. Horrible. Horrible.
Horrible.
I have trouble with it,
yeah,
too.
Because I got an email yesterday from somebody saying, hey, I want to go to the whore, W-H-O-R-E. Horrible singles party.
I want to go to that guy's party. It's time for yours.
I'd like to go to that one more than mine as well. And the top germiest jobs, the jobs where you're at risk of getting sick. There are a lot more germs at your job than most. I will tell you that our job is in the top five.
How about that? And by the way, it's number one today. You've got Psycho Mike as patient zero standing behind you. That
he's
guy's
not standing.
Been...
He can't even stand. He's
yeah.
He's actually
he's holding on to a chair, trying to pull himself up.
Yes.
Well, Mike, you need to go home then. You don't want to infect everybody who's already not sick. Half the staff is already sick. You should get out of here if you feel that
Which
bad.
Which is why you got sick.
It's not my fault. I'm a soldier. I was born this way.
Well, Kevin's going to get sick. You're standing right next to me.
It's going to be your fault when I get sick.
Yeah,
that's right.
And then you're going to get over it. I'm going to come back in and give it right back to you.
I hear you, man.
What do you think of that?
It's hard for me to think about that because I had gangrene on my feet summer of 69. I kept on marching. You know what I'm saying?
That didn't happen.
Charlie didn't rest just because my feet were hurting.
Pretty sure you weren't even alive in 1969.
Wow, his
is
mouth isn't sick.
His
mouth
what
is never
like,
sick.
When you came back from Nam, though, Mike, what was that reception like?
Oh, it was hell. I was in the airport in a wheelchair and they spit on me.
Well, they did the right thing.
That's the thanks I get.
They did the right thing in this case.
So on heroin to cope?
Plus, we're going to continue K-Rock's World Tour 2009 destination number 3, which is Kings of Leon in New Zealand. You'll win tickets.
Okay.
You'll get tickets to see the Kings of Leon when they play the Forum August 22nd. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10. And that's the qualifying prize. And then Friday morning, we will do the grand prize drawing and send somebody to New Zealand.
Cool. Okay.
A quick break and back with Ralph Showbiz.
It is Tuesday. Ralph Garman joins us in the studio now. Preparing to deliver the first Showbiz beat of the day. What's going on, Ralph?
There you go.
Hi, Ralph.
Dude could buy me a little time to like sit down, couldn't he? No, no, not being busy worrying about Krispy Kremes and dogs' butts. How about Will Ferrell? Funny? Yes.
That is a great story.
He is on Broadway with his brand new show, You're Welcome, America, A Final Night with George W. Bush.
Looks funny.
Looks very funny. HBO is going to do a broadcast of performance from HBO, so we'll all get a chance to see it. However, not everyone is pleased with the show. Apparently, some audience members have been storming out because of some sizable imagery he includes in the show. A supersized photo of a flaccid penis apparently appears on stage.
Penis.
We were joking that now that he was out of office, says director Adam McKay, who's also Will's buddy and partner with FunnierDie.com, now that he was out of his office, he could do whatever he wants. So I said, let's have him show his own penis. And they think it's funny, so the bit is staying in, regardless of the fact that some, I'm guessing, more elderly viewers of Broadway are finding it offensive and walking out of the theater.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that a person or two complained, and their response was, oh, well, we're going to do it anyway?
Well, that's the beauty, Kevin, when you're funding your own show.
Wow.
You can do what you want. When you're not working for somebody else.
So wow.
That's the key.
Where are my
that
penises?
Looks like a penis, only smaller.
Usher's wife, Tamika, is in stable condition after having been put in a medically induced coma following a surgical incident over the weekend in Brazil.
Dude.
Apparently she was getting plastic surgery in Brazil. Well, there's the problem. You got plastic surgery in Brazil.
Why?
If only there were some plastic surgeons here in the United States of America that could have taken care of whatever your issues are, and then you could have been in America instead of in Brazil, where you ended up having to be put into a coma because you were in Brazil getting plastic surgery in Brazil.
What kind of surgery was she getting? Do you know, Ralph?
Don't know.
How long don't was the procedure?
Don't because have I'm those details, Kevin.
If it's
just telling you the story, man.
You couldn't get here.
Two or three nurses in the operating room.
If it's plastic surgery
it
that you can't get in the United States of America,
I'm not arguing with you.
That's all. I'm not arguing with you either. I'm arguing with Tamika Raymond, who went to Brazil for her plastic surgery.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't.
If you have to go to into a borderline third world country for your plastic surgery, maybe, I don't know, some self-help therapy or, you know, a few sessions with a good psychologist will fix that for you.
You know what's interesting is our guest in the 8 o'clock hour this morning with the triple K boobs, Sheila.
Yeah,
she had to go to Brazil to get those implants because she couldn't.
There
get
you
the
go.
States.
Point taken.
Does Brazil say no to anything?
Nope.
No.
Apparently not.
You want it? We'll give it to you.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Where was Kanye's mom when she had the plastic surgery nightmare that killed her? Was she in America? Or did she go someplace hinky too?
No, she was in America.
Yeah. She just had a half-ass surgeon who was willing to do multiple procedures.
Right. She was trying to save money. I had like 11 surgeries done at once or something, right?
Yeah. If you're going to save money, maybe operations isn't the place to skimp, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know, maybe cut back on Starbucks. Start brewing your own coffee at home, you know? Save a couple bucks that way instead of the medical route. I think usually the rule of thumb you get what you pay for is never more so than in the medical profession.
That's kind of important.
Yeah. More medical news. Turns out that Nadia Suleiman.
Hey.
We know her now as the crazy broad who's got 14 kids.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think she's Iranian, Mike. I don't believe she warrants a hi.
Damn, sorry.
She, you know, she's all over the news now because she did this interview with Ann Curry from the Today Show.
About the octuplets and her other six kids.
Turns out she had pursued television fame before in 2006 when she and her doctor went to KTLA-TV here in Los Angeles. And they were covering her procedure where she was getting ultrasound and getting, getting the opinion of the next fertility series that she was going to go through.
Right.
So she was on television then. Apparently there's all kinds of footage of her talking to the reporters and showing her procedure. And now they've got all this footage of her when she was trying to garner some attention before for her fertility procedure. So this isn't the first time this woman has sought out some attention via her uterus.
I hope she's. I certainly hope she's not, but it sure seems like she is having kids just to get on TV.
Yeah,
dude, did you see the interview?
I did not know.
Well, Ann Curry says to her, "You want to have a job? How are you going to raise the money to take care of these kids? Oh, God will provide everything.
Oh no,
because all these kids need is my love and me being there. That's what's really important. Money's not important to me
because it's going to come out of our taxes. That's why,
dude."
Don't they need clothes and food and medicine, though? Aren't those things that are also going to be important to those babies?
God will provide those. I just want to get a team of guys in flak jackets and just kick in the door and carry those babies out of there.
And then fix her.
They get into real families.
And by fix her, I mean really fix her.
Really fix her.
It does seem like there ought to be 8 families in Los Angeles who are dying for a newborn. It does seem like there's an easy solution to this one.
I'd hand them out like Manny Pacquiao on Thanksgiving.
And of the turkeys.
In Filipino town. That's what I'd be doing, off the back of a truck. That's how I'd get rid of them rather than give them to her. And lunatic. You know, she's got plastic surgery, so she looks like Angelina Jolie now.
Yeah.
They had some plastic surgeons on talking about what she's done. Her nose was fixed.
She did that too?
Her lips have been fixed. I'm thinking the woman's got no job.
How does she afford all this?
She lives with her mom and dad in a 3-bedroom house in Whittier. How is she affording not only 14 kids, but plastic surgery on top of it? It's madness, I say.
That is a great question. The infertility treatment is way expensive
right?
as well.
But if you're really, you have to have kids, if you're nutty for kids, if you're cuckoo for cocoa kids, and you got to get that done, all right. But you're taking time out to spend the $5,000 or whatever it is to have your lips injected and your nose fixed?
Yeah.
Yeah. This woman's a whack job. Speaking of whack jobs, Amy Winehouse. Where does she may finally take a break from her permication, as they're calling it, down on the island of St. Lucia, or St. Lucia, to take care of some business at home. Word is she's finally ready to start divorce proceedings with her husband, Blake Fielder Civil, and needs to return to London in order to get that battle plan in operation. So.
But for a couple of days to sign some papers and then back down, I hope.
Right back to the bar. Right back to the steel drums.
People need a break. You can't just work nonstop, you know?
And there's a downside to be famous, of course, as we all have learned by now.
What?
It must suck to be Paul McCartney.
Yeah?
Because, really... Wherever you go, you're pretty much the most famous guy in the room.
Yeah.
And that's got to attract all kinds of loons, right? Mm-hmm. Post-Grammys, he apparently was at a party when a young lady came up to him and mentioned that she was also a singer and suggested they get together and do a duet.
Yeah.
That young lady, Paris Hilton.
Oh no.
Come on.
That's a pair. That's some sack right there. If you're Paris Hilton and you go to Paul McCartney and say, "Yes, I'm a singer too. Let's do a duet."
Well, she's clueless as to who he really is.
She just knows he's famous.
Yeah.
Word is, always the gentleman, McCartney declined the interview, saying his schedule was just too busy for the next few years.
Well, how about 3 years from now? 4.
Still tied up.
No, and then I got that lunch with Ringo. Yeah, I can't. No, I'm pretty much tied up.
Kevin, I know you hate the Beatles, but even you recognize the sacrilege in that request from Paris Hilton.
Their place in history is really not questionable. I don't like to listen to their music, but...
It was weird at the Grammys the other night. McCartney just threw the whole room out of whack because so many of the people who went up to the podium were such fans of his that they were just giddy that he was in the room with them. It was just weird.
McCartney said he was starstruck while at the event.
He said Paris Hilton?
He almost asked... Neil Diamond for an autograph. That's what a big fan he is.
But then he realized it was a wax figure. It wasn't actually
it wasn't
Neil.
A wax figure. It was Neil. Look, man, we all get older. That's just a law of nature. There's nothing you can do about it.
No, I know that.
But his talent is intact at his age, by the way. He's got nothing to be embarrassed about with that performance, I think.
Not interested. Paul McCartney can be starstruck by somebody. And finally, we've got a replacement for Jerry Springer on America's Got Talent. I was worried. I didn't know what they were going to do. Nick Cannon will be the new host of America's
Private
Got
Eye?
Talent. Nick Cannon, Private Eye, yes. He will be solving crimes and picking out who's got talent in America. I hope they have a drum line.
That'd
be good.
You can check
that. Yeah.
Now, he's Mr. Mariah Carey, right?
He is. He is married to Mariah Carey. Also known for his work on MTV and Nickelodeon. Had a show on Nick. And he's been very successful.
Right, he's no Jerry.
He is no Jerry, no. The judges will remain Sharon Osbourne, Piers Morgan, and, of course, the Hoff. So we got that going.
As long as the Hasselhoff is a judge, that's really all you need to know about that show.
I want him to sing more, though. That's the only thing I worry about. He doesn't sing nearly enough on that show. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actor Robert Wagner is 79 years old today. He's been a star for a long, long time, probably best known as number two in the Austin Powers movies.
Number two.
He's 79. Actress Laura Dern, who was so good in Recount as that nutty broad from Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. She's 42 years old today. He's also the daughter of Bruce Dern and Diane Ladd, if you know those actors. Elizabeth Banks. We love her so much. From Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Most recently, she's been on Scrubs and other feature films. 35 years old today.
Slither.
Of course.
Was,
what kind of stuff did she do in Slither? I wonder.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
She was featured in A Moment with Bean as well. It was probably the highlight of her career.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Never has anyone said, wow, you're an asshole, without actually saying it before, like Elizabeth Banks.
She's the best.
That was really tactful. What kind of stuff?
Really not what you would call a winner.
Yeah. What kind of stuff did I do in Slither?
Did
you just say that? It came out of your mouth?
What was that?
And Emma Roberts, who is the daughter of Eric Roberts.
Yes.
Eric. How old? I don't know whether I got my finger on two
and
different bills.
Which
one am I
hitting? Niece of Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And currently stars in Hotel for Dogs. You can find her in that show. She is 18 years old today.
Yeah.
So we can all celebrate and unzip.
Good answer.
I don't know what that means.
The
Dayquil's kicking in. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
When you think Valentine's Day, you think Friday the 13th from New Line Cinema Open Everywhere this weekend. And that's why we put the two together to make it the Horrible Singles Party. Horrible, although I think you're right. The guy with the horror party, I think, was a good idea, too.
He wrote in and said W-H-O-R-E, and I was like, maybe we should have thought of that. This is H-O-R-R-O-R.
Yes.
On the Rocks on Sunset in Hollywood is where we're going to be. Of course, DJ Omar Khan is going to be spinning.
DJ Omar Khan.
Lightning's going to be down there with his video camera. That's going to stop you from getting a job at some point in your future. A no-host bar, plenty of drink specials. 21 and up, we're looking for you. If you're single right now for your Valentine's Day horror stories, you can call the world-famous K-Rock.
If you're single, then Valentine's Day is the scariest day of the year. That's why Kevin and Bean are having their Horrible Singles Party Friday the 13th.
Jason?
It seems like you ought to have an orchestra or something doing that. You shouldn't have to walk around making that noise with your mouth all the time, Jason.
It's scarier when I do it.
Is it?
Okay.
Or more annoying. I can't figure out.
So, no killing, please. We're really just looking for hookups. I know.
Come
you're
on.
Really
no, we're not talking about you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who do you have for us to talk to this morning, Jason?
Let's talk to Adam from Mission Viejo.
All right, Adam, 26. Good morning.
How you guys doing? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Adam.
Valentine's Day horror stories.
All right. First off, I got set up by this girl that I knew on a blind date for Valentine's Day. I knew her from work. Set me up with this girl. She had way too much to drink. By the time I picked her up, kept drinking at the bar, ended up throwing up all over the place and having to call her mom to come get her.
Yes.
That's a date.
Yes.
That is a date.
Was her mom hot?
You know what? I ended up ditching the girl, and after she called her mom and got picked up, and I just went back to it, and I had a great story to use as a pickup line.
Sure.
Adam, I have to ask, because I've never heard of anyone attempting a blind date on Valentine's Day. That just seems like trouble waiting to happen. Why'd you decide to do that?
I had nothing better to do, I guess. That's the best reason for it. She was like, hey, I know this cute girl. Turned out she was kind of a wreck.
All right. I can't find any fault on Adam with what happened.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
It didn't sound like it was his fault. I think we'll see you Friday night. Bring a single guy friend. We're going to try to keep the numbers even Friday night at On the Rocks. Who's next with us, Jason?
Our next Valentine's Day horror story, Samantha, 21 from Los Angeles.
Hey, Samantha.
Hello. Hi.
What happened to you on Valentine's Day?
Well, my birthday is actually on Valentine's Day, and I was with my boyfriend, and I spent the day with him and found out that he actually slept with my best friend on Valentine's Day on my birthday.
Is your friend hot?
Yes, she is a pretty girl.
All right. What are you going to do?
So you found out that they had slept together, what, was it 1 year before on your birthday? Is that when it was?
What?
Had they slept together the year before, or they slept together the day you found out about it?
Actually, I found out about it a couple days afterwards.
Oh, so
oh,
it was,
I see.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, yeah. So it wasn't on Valentine's Day. All right.
Well, that blows. What?
Are you hot?
Yes.
Oh,
what's
all right.
Your weigh?
Okay.
Michael. Mike's getting a bad vibe. What's the weight?
What?
Listen, we're just saying we can't fight the vibe.
It's a what? Small room. If we let one fat chick in, that means three other people can't go.
I don't get
fat.
Oh,
I'm definitely
at all.
Not a fat chick.
I'm not getting fat from Samantha either. I think she's fine.
Yes, but she's not as hot as her friend is.
Can your friend come?
Yeah.
That's what he said. All right. I think I'm in with Samantha.
Me too.
All right. I'm going to be overruled because I'm going to tell you she's fat, and we'll find out on Friday.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you she is, but thanks for the call. I get a very bad vibe from her.
I'm very interested to hear from Chris from Pacoima, but I hope he tells his story carefully.
All right, Chris. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean?
You must tell your story carefully, please. We can't really talk.
Okay. I will. All right. Okay. I took this chick on a date. We went and got drunk. Everything went back to my place, you know, did the deed and everything. And I woke up, and she was taking a leak on my floor.
Good times.
Marking her territory.
Smack her nose with a newspaper?
I threw her out of my house, man, for sure.
Bean's trainer has an answer for that.
He does.
Exactly.
Yes,
although they might have already tried that the night before. So that was a one-time deal with her. You did not see her again because she wasn't body trained, right?
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What do you guys think? That's a very funny story.
I'm good with Chris.
Fine.
All right, well, we got time for one more, Jason.
How about Virgie from El Monte?
Virgie.
Hi.
Hi, Virgie.
Hi.
What happened?
Okay, long story short, Valentine's Day, about 4 or 5 years ago, I caught my boyfriend cheating on me. But the topper was, it was with his sister.
Whoa!
No, that's not true.
No.
Wait
you
a minute.
Sit on a throne of lies.
Wait a minute, was it with your sister? It was with your boyfriend's sister? No.
It was his sister. Nope.
Sweet.
Wait a minute.
Well, the funny thing was, I knew something was going on because for Christmas he had bought me a perfume. And he started telling me I didn't have a scent and all this other stuff. And I caught him spraying it on his bed. So I started doing a little bit of investigation. I never caught him really cheating with anybody or any other girl's members. Well, Valentine's Day, I showed up to surprise him. I caught him with his sister.
Nope.
Didn't happen.
That seems not possible. And I think we're going to need some kind of corroboration. I mean, there's got... Does anyone hear by that? Was it a sister?
I mean, it does happen.
Okay, let me ask a very important question.
Okay.
Stepsister?
Whoa!
Get rid of her.
No, I like Virgie. Now
get rid of her, you kidding me?
Now that she's cursing and she's dating people that have sex with her own family.
I know, but she's doing all the snooping around, like going through his stuff and showing up unannounced.
She's the wrong one in this situation, Bean. Yeah, oh. She's the bad one.
We can blame her because her boyfriend...
Banging his sister.
Oh, a guy can't love his family. That's what you guys are talking about. I'm sorry. Virgie is dead to me.
I'm going
to
think I'm a yes on Virgie.
I'm a yes, too.
All right.
If Virgie looks the way she looks, that it forces him to turn to his sister.
Come on. He was already turning to his sister.
All right. We're going to have to have... All right. We're going to let you in, but we need to meet you on Friday night and have more discussion about this because I think there's some stories you're not sharing with us about how this all happened, Virgie.
I can tell you about that.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Right.
Reminds me of my relationship with my mom.
She
killed people because I drowned up at Crystal Lake. We were very close.
Right. Like yeah. But you never had sex with her.
No, I just murdered people for
her.
Okay.
All right.
We are going to continue to take a few more calls off the air.
Because I'm Jason.
Right. Got it.
Yeah.
You're a killer.
Wear a hockey mask.
Right. Yeah.
Kill you want to come on back and help us give away some more later on, Jason?
No.
Okay.
By the way, tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of the best shows ever, I think. Bikini Girl, Crazy Bikini Girl from American Idol is going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Louis Black.
Mm-hmm.
Stopping on by.
Are they
and
a couple?
How about, no.
No.
How about Sarah Shahi in studio from the TV show Life? How about all of that tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Well, Mike's sick today. And I would like to suggest that he goes home today because none of us want to get sick. I mean, we're really concerned about him, mostly.
Sure, of course.
And
then just come back on Thursday.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Saying perhaps he needs tomorrow off as well, just so that he can recover fully.
So you can miss Bikini Girl and Sarah Shahi from life. I like it. All right. Let's check out the email bag. You can write to any of us at krock.com. All of the email addresses are up there, and they're all pretty easy to guess, even if they're not. Let's start with this one. Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm not able to listen to you live due to my work environment, so I get to listen via the podcast. And by the way, that's an excellent point right there, is we appreciate everybody who does take the time to download and listen to the podcast. It is kind of nice to be able to work it around your schedule if you can't join us in the morning. Well, I recently caught your show from last Friday the 23rd, and I heard of the segment that you were doing of people who are afraid of dumb things. I have to admit, I have a phobia of canned corn. I like corn. I love corn, but just not in the can. I hate it so much that I won't eat anything with corn in it unless I can verify for a fact that it's either fresh or came from the freezer. There are many things that I'm happy to eat out of a can, but for some reason, I'm just terrified of canned corn. I thought I would share. Take care, Stephanie.
That is bizarre.
Wow. What's up with that?
Canned corn. God. Likes regular corn, though. It's not the corn.
Yes. Nope. Not corn. It's canned corn.
This one is about Coachella. As you know, that's coming up April 17, 18, 19, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes from Lawrence. It's very short, sweet, to the point. And Lawrence says, who's Paul McCartney? My favorite email.
Wow.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
We can't help you there, Hoff. I'm sorry. Hey, party people, this email begins. Just got to say, I recently received the Snuggie as a birthday present, and it is awesome. I never thought sleeves would make such a difference in lounging comfort. You have to get one, and it comes with a really cool book light. Love listening to you guys.
That's absolutely
I don't know how the Snuggie has taken off. I don't know how it's sold 4 million copies already, because basically, it's just a blanket.
Yeah.
With sleeves.
But why? How lazy?
It's not laziness.
I don't get it.
Here's my favorite thing about that commercial. They say if you're watching TV or whatever, the blanket slips and slides all over the place. Then they follow that up immediately with, but if the phone rings, you can't get your hands out. All of a sudden, it's a death trap. I don't even understand that.
It's a blanket. They're not tying you into a street jacket.
All right. This one is bizarre. I don't know what it means. I know that I love Neil. He's my new friend.
Okay.
Dear Kevin, I have now changed my name to Richard Fear and have also dyed my skin. If you ever see me off of Olympic downtown, please holla. You guys are a-holes. Neil.
Wow.
What?
You could be one of our people.
I don't know what any of that means. Sounds crazy, so I'm in.
Does this mean he's standing out on the street or something? We can drive by
probably
and talk to him?
But okay. It only says off of Olympic downtown. It doesn't say where on Olympic. I guess he wanders. I don't know.
Interesting.
Wow. How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert? Do you know?
Dear Kevin and Bean, my brother is a radiation therapist in Missouri. He recently called with the most stunning baby name I've ever heard. He was strolling by the hospital's nursery when the baby names on the clear plastic crib caught his eye. The name was L-A. L-A.
Ella?
He had to ask the nurse about the baby's name. She informed him that, yes, that was the kid's name, and it is pronounced Ladasha.
Oh, come on.
No.
Or Ladasha, I guess. Are you freaking kidding me? It's not even a dash. It's a hyphen. I hereby nominate Kevin Bean to head the first mandatory name approval board in the U.S. Jeff in Louisiana. P.S. Longtime fan have been. The kid's name is Ladasha, you guys. L-A.
That's the best name ever.
That one's tough to beat.
I'm a fan. Dear Kevin Bean, why are you guys always ruining my life? Okay, first 5 years ago, I moved to San Francisco and realized that there is no K-Rock. And to my dismay, you guys weren't even streaming, so I couldn't listen to you online. Of course, when I moved back to Los Angeles, you guys start streaming online. Second, you proceed to mess up my mornings by ending the program at 9 a.m., exactly the time I get in the car to go to work. Before, I would listen until I got to work because you were on till 10. Last but not least, you decided to do the Cinco Retard thing and ended at 6, exactly the time I get in the car to go home from work. So again, I missed the program. I just want to say, WTF, do you have against me? I'm hurt. Sahar. And the answer is, we don't like you.
Right. We are doing everything we can so you can't listen.
It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
We do seem to be inconvenient for that listener.
We're just not that into you.
This may be the final word on the Christian Bale interview on the Kevin Bean Show last Friday. Hey, guys, and of course, the lovely Lisa May. First things first, how cool was it that Christian Bale came on your show Friday morning and proved what a stand-up guy he was by taking responsibility for his actions? I was reading all the articles online giving props to your show, like you guys did anything but be as surprised as we all were when Ralph told you who was on the line. Thank God Christian Bale has a sense of humor and didn't start a new rant on you guys. Anyway, you deserve credit that you're getting in all the articles for being great people except for you, Bean. I want to thank Ralph for not telling Christian Bale that Adam West is a better Batman.
Yeah.
I want to thank Kevin for not forgetting who he was actually talking to on the line during the interview.
How dare you?
Thanks to Bean for not talking at all during the apology. Thanks to Psycho Mike for not destroying our ears with his moan after finding out who was on the line like he does. And thanks, Lisa, for just being you. You're perfect the way you are. Aww. Good job, guys. Dwayne. So apparently we satisfied him with that little interview with Christian Bale, I guess.
And finally, Emily from Pasadena just sent me a link to a Twitter account for Chris Angel.
Oh, really? Okay.
Now, there's no way of knowing, I don't think, if you know, for sure if it's really Chris Angel, but you tell me based on some of the Twitters that he has sent.
Okay.
Number 20, all my tweets will now be referred to as mine tweets.
Okay.
Possibly.
19. I've convinced many people that I can walk on water, but I can't get the Luxor cleaning staff to see the do not disturb sign on my door.
Yeah, it's not him. It's definitely not him.
Not him? Why?
I don't think so.
Because that guy has a sense of humor, whoever wrote that.
How about this? Never said anything funny.
Right.
Number 16. So honored that Supernatural on the CW chose to use My Art of Illusion as a model for next week's show. The next one. Never mind. Just learned the title of the Supernatural show is. Please remove from your DVR.
That's
not him, you're saying?
It was a douchebag show. Not, definitely not him.
Made Bush disappear from the White House today. You're welcome.
Definitely not
no,
him.
No, not him?
Nope.
Too funny?
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
Hey, 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 hey! Come on!
Hey.
No, Ralph. You got to do it.
You're going to tell me now how to
Did I rock that or not?
Nope.
Oh.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. She's got triple K boobs after 9 plastic surgeries. We'll talk to her in 1 hour on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock and more tickets for the Valentine's Day. Friday the 13th singles party coming up later, too.
Not the title at all, but we'll go with
smooth.
It.
Well, smooth.
Well, it occurred to me, as I was saying, Valentine's Day, it's this weekend, which is why we're doing the party, but it's not a Valentine's Day party. It's a Friday the 13th party.
Right.
So
it's actually Kevin and Bean's horrible singles party.
Right.
That's what it is.
All right. Yeah. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Here's the title. Free to use it, man. That's why we work on these things. People to use them. Freaking Bean making up his own parties.
You don't expect us to get information right at this point in our careers, do you?
No, hardly.
All right.
Hey, you know the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Bad.
Yes.
Oh, look. Hey, look who's back.
Speaking hey, how about that?
Go home. We sent you home because you're sick. Get out. I say Dallas Cowboys. He comes back in.
I know.
Yeah.
Looking
oh,
like
now
a,
he's licking your microphone. What's
like
that about?
Homeless junkie. This is how good they are. They're looking for new players on reality TV.
Uh-huh.
On TV.
They're doing that, yeah.
Michael Irvin will be hosting a show on Spike TV looking for either wide receivers or defensive backs. Who think they can play in the pros. Let me just save everyone a lot of time here. You can't. Can we just cancel the show now and go on about our
lives?
There
are a lot of great college players that never make it.
Yeah, who never help. But if you think you're bagging groceries somewhere now like Kurt Warner was, you think you just step on the field and become an MVP, then this show is for you.
When does this start, do you know?
I don't know when the show starts, but I know when the auditions start.
Okay.
They're looking for wide receivers and D-backs to come to the open call, and that is Thursday, February the 12th. That would be this Thursday at the Citadel Outlets in Commerce, California.
Oh.
Nope.
At the outlet stores?
You know, the best players in the NFL were all found at outlet stores. It's true.
It's one of the strangest things I've ever heard.
The first 500 people in line have the best chance to be seen. It's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Citadel Outlets, 100 Citadel Drive in Commerce, California. You have to bring a photo of yourself, your football highlight reel. I'm guessing you had to have played the position before in order to be considered.
Sure. Right. At least high school, probably college.
You need coach references as well.
Okay.
So your high school coach has to say,
yeah, he's a good player.
He can do it.
He's especially good in the locker room.
I'd like to see Bean try out for the Cowboys.
Oh, more than anything, I want to see that world. I want to see him just run a slant and just be tacoed by two linebackers.
This is what happens when that Invincible movie came out, by the way. Everybody thinks that they can go from behind the bar to playing in the pros.
Yeah.
Well, is that the movie? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
With Mark Wahlberg?
Absolutely.
Vince Papale.
I can't wait for this.
Philadelphia
show.
Eagle. Made it happen.
Oh, 20 bucks.
Nicely.
Bean just
done.
Set me up.
Suckered
he
you in.
Yep.
Nicely
sure
done.
He set me
sure
up. That's
did.
What he is doing.
Omar, we have a file you need to put that in
yeah,
so at the end
to
of the year.
Now.
Right. You need a VHS tape, a mini DVD tape, or a DVD of your footage of you playing football, and go down there and see if you can do it. There'll be no physical tryout at this particular edition. I think this is just a preliminary audition, but you can check it out. Los Angeles Citadel Outlets, Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. First 500 people in line, as I mentioned, have the best chance to be seen, so you may want to get there early if you're dreaming and kidding yourself into thinking you got a shot.
I was wondering if they were having it at the outlet center because they'll send you into a store and tell you to steal something and see if you can get past security, and that'll show how you can run and move.
Because they need a T-shirt?
Or whatever. I'm just saying. It'd be a good agility test for the potential player.
Strange choice. I don't even understand.
Yeah. It's just a spacious place, I guess, to have a big line of people. Word is coming out about Rihanna's injuries now from this whole thing with Chris Brown, allegedly.
Yeah.
And cops are saying that her injuries, which they took photos of, by the way, after the incident, are horrific. Mm. Major contusions on both sides of her face, serious swelling and bruising. Her lip is split. Her nose was bloody. Bite marks on one of her arms and on several of her fingers.
Bite marks?
Wow.
Yeah. Rihanna claims Chris Brown struck her with his fists, and that's what did the damage. There was no object used in the alleged attack, so at least he won't be charged with weapon charges. But
is biting worse than... Does anyone know if biting is like worse than punching? Or as far as the damage you can do, I think would be
pretty big. Infections and stuff from that, that's for
sure. I don't
know,
in terms of assault, what is considered worse, but it sounds like she was just brutalized by this guy.
It does. She should have stuck her finger in his butt. Get him off of her.
Let's see,
And the Ticketmaster saga continues.
Yes.
What?
Apparently Springsteen fans got caught in Ticketmaster's web of deceit up in Canada last week when tickets went on sale for Bruce's tour up there.
Was this after the outcry?
Or in New Jersey?
Yes, this is after the Jersey event. They went to Ticketmaster to buy the face value concert tickets to see The Boss and immediately were directed to their sister site, TicketNow.com, that sells previously owned tickets, so they claim, at a higher price.
But they seem to have been able to turn around in like 30 seconds.
People in Canada, they don't put up with this kind of shizzle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Good.
And so they have banded together and filed a $500 million lawsuit against Ticketmaster.
Yeah, that's great.
That'll get their attention.
So hopefully they'll be successful and Ticketmaster will take it in the shorts where they so rightfully deserve it.
It is interesting. When we had the congressman on from New Jersey last week, he said, I talked to the guy who runs Ticketmaster, and he said they weren't going to do that anymore. And maybe he was just speaking about America, but apparently the evil practice continues.
Sure enough does. Does it really count if Bean suckers me into saying it versus me talking about it on my own?
It does. You can't count on anyone here for support. You know that.
But I thought the guy said I can't talk about those particular players anymore.
You can't talk about that particular team.
But he's talking about
that
show business story that he was trying to make me say it.
I think if that guy wants to give Bean a kickback, that's fine. But
I think that's maybe what it is. Maybe he's getting like a 10% deal. Maybe he's like,
you can't use that language.
Can I start making some money on that? Can I get some cash for that?
Yeah, I'll pay you for that.
All right, cool. All right.
We can balance it out.
Let's start a new pot and see how much we can make. Today's celebrity birthdays, Robert Wagner, 79 years old today. Laura Dern, the actress, turns 42. Speaking of the Cowboys, former Dallas Cowboy Daryl Johnston, who's now one of the broadcasters over there on Fox, who does football. Moose! He's 42 years old. Elizabeth Banks, who was in that movie Invincible, by the way, with Donnie Wahlberg as... Mark Wahlberg, rather, is Vince Papale.
Mm-hmm.
She is 35 years old today. And Emma Roberts, daughter of Eric, niece of Julia. Yeah, Eric. It's good to have Omar back in the studio. She's 18 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You feeling better now that Mike's gone, now that patient zero has left the room?
Well, yeah, I feel better now, but he did touch a lot of the stuff I'm touching, so I'm going to end up coming down with it. That's not
good. You're going to be sick. It is interesting that later this hour we're talking to a guy who has is involved with an article on the germiest jobs in the world, and you wouldn't think that essentially an office job like ours would be on that list, much less in the top five, but it is. Apparently, this is just a petri dish that we're working in. So,
and by the way, radio in general is, if they just took K-Rock as one single station, it would demolish that list.
Yeah, that's true. All right, that's coming up later on in the hour, and more tickets for the horrible singles party on the way. We've made reference to it a couple of times this morning, but for folks who have not heard, here's the short version of what's going on in my life. I call it puppy hell. It's also puppy heaven, because puppies are great, and you love being around puppies. But we're having a little bit of a conflict in our house, because we now have two females that are at odds with one another. Tater Tot, who many of you have heard of over the years, is the older female. She's almost 10. And then Veruca is now 6 months old. Now, Veruca
is starting to get big enough that she feels like she should be ruling the roost. And she and Tater have been bucking heads a little bit. So basically what has happened is Veruca will latch on. She'll bite and she'll latch on to Tater, like Tater's ear, for instance, and won't let go. And that puts me in a horrifying situation because you can't just lift up the dog and pull the dog off. The dog, you know, bulldogs, they're not quite pit bulls, but they have that kind of jaw that just locks in and doesn't let go, right? So what do you do in that situation? You try throwing water on them. I've heard some people say you got to have a fire extinguisher nearby because that'll shock them. That'll surprise them so that they'll separate. I mean, it's a terrible thing when you got your dogs going at each other, right?
Right.
So we meet with a dog.
What a quack did you have come over?
Meet with a dog trader over the weekend who gave me lots of great advice on how to make sure that the correct hierarchy in the household is established. Things that you can do to show Veruca that Tater Tot is the boss, that Tater Tot gets to eat first, Tater Tot maybe gets up on the couch and Veruca doesn't. A lot of things like that are behavioral that are supposed to help reinforce what you want her to do. But I said, forget all that. The next time Veruca goes for Tater Tot, God forbid, and that happens, and she's locked on, what am I supposed to do? Because I can't find anything that will safely extract these two from one another.
Did you ask him?
Who let the dogs out?
No.
Okay.
I didn't. I mean, that's the most important thing is because, you know, Tater went to – I had to take Tater to the hospital. I mean, she had to get 3 stitches in her ear after the last time it happened. And you don't want your old dog to be – to go through something like that. I mean, it's a serious thing.
Set up complete. Let's hear what your guy said.
So the guy said, well, what you do is, because you got to get the puppy's attention, is you put your finger in her butt. That's what you do.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
You put your
finger in the puppy's butt, and that will surprise her, as it would surprise me if somebody did that out of the blue, and will cause her to release her jaw and to get away from Tater Tot.
Did you say what else you got? I mean, did you say that's one option? Got it. What else?
I did. I said nope.com, which is just the first thing that comes to mind when you hear something like that. And he said, that's what works. And I said, but there must be something else. And then he explained to me all of the things that you would think of that would make more sense, like picking up the dog's back legs and pulling them away or whatever, or, you know, pinching the dog's other ear. He said those things are all perceived by a dog in the heat of battle as coming from its opponent. And that just causes them to bite down harder and latch on more. That's why it has to be something completely out of the blue.
How does a dog know, though, that it's you and not the other dog? Because if I'm a dog and another dog puts his paw up my butt, I'm even mad. Now I'm going to really attack.
I haven't had a chance to try this yet, and I hope that I never do. He says that it works.
Nope.
And some of the email response I got from people who have some knowledge of dog fights, they have also agreed with that. I mean, I got pretty good response from it yesterday from people say it works. Wouldn't want to be you.
My contention is he went home and said, you will never believe what I got this guy to believe. I told this guy today that to get the dogs to stop fighting, and they had a good laugh.
Now, as funny as it is, though, Kevin, do you think it wouldn't work?
I think it would work. Probably.
But aren't the dogs moving around? Like, when my dogs fight, aren't they moving around a lot? I can just see Bean with his finger trying to...
Dogs don't exactly present themselves.
No, I mean,
during
they're not
those
just
moments.
Standing still, right. Are they?
And by the way, if I'm a dog, I'll say this again. If you do that to me, I'm going to bite you. Forget the dog.
But if the dog were to go bite me, that would be great. I would love that.
Yes, it
then
would.
But then Veruca would take her teeth off of Tater Tot.
Right.
I don't care if Veruca wants to try to bite me. I'm just trying to protect my older dog. That's what's going on here.
Right.
And I need some way to separate them. And I hope I never – I mean, I don't just want to walk around with a lubricated glove on one hand. That can't be my life, right?
Anymore. And I would just like to say there are 20 ways to do everything. This cannot possibly be the only way.
It can't be. Please tell me it's not. I don't want it to be. Believe me, I'm not coming in going, great news, guys. I can't wait for the first opportunity. I get to go knuckles deep. I mean, that's not something I want to do.
Man.
I want there to be a better solution, a safer solution that's going to accomplish the same goal.
That's not dog training. Come on now.
Well, I mean, does it make sense to you that it might work?
Yes, in the heat of,
I have
the anal gland issue. And
don't even want to hear
all
about
right.
that. A stun gun would work too, but there are things that I'm thinking you don't want to necessarily do, right?
Of course.
Yeah, like a shock collar, I guess you could put on your dog.
But you do anything you can at that point to protect the older dog. If
right.
you've got a dog really, like, taking a chunk out of the other dog, you want to make sure that that doesn't happen. You want
right.
to stop the bleeding.
Right up until I need to insert my finger, and then one of the dog goes. I don't know. Literally, that's not an answer. That's a bad answer. So we're going to take your calls.
But you would do it if you were in that situation and it was the only thing you knew how
to do. I find that hard to believe. I really think I would try everything else, even stuff that I just made up, you know, at the last second while I'm looking around the room looking for something to help with. Because yeah. No, I'm saying no.
All right. We want to talk to people who have tried it and it works. And we also want to talk to people who have better solutions to get out of the situation that I've described. Because believe me, it's not something I want to do. It's really
Although
not.
Although I think it would be funny.
You just want a video at KRock.com.
Yes.
But I'm with Lisa. I mean, it might work. It's super bad for you. But the dog is not necessarily just going.
Yeah, it's not going to be that easy necessarily.
You poke it in the hip, you poke it in the side, you poke it in the stomach, you
right.
poke it in the leg.
You're
Does that help?
Chasing him around with your finger extended.
Oh, please take a video of that. I'm begging you.
Like, I'm not going to be busy enough with my other with my
I
one
will
hand
pay you
already.
$1,000 to set up a video camera as soon as they start fighting.
I'm not going to
So that we
that.
Can see that.
I'm going to have more urgent things on my mind.
All right, let's take some calls and see if perhaps there's any other answer besides this one, because this one seems so bad. Darren in Newberry Park, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, what I do, because I got a 6-month puppy and a 7-year-old dog. When the puppy bites my dog, I just push it in his cheek. So he's like biting the inside of his own cheek. And then that makes him release.
And he lets go.
Are you a dog trainer?
No.
Did you have a dog trainer tell you about this?
No.
Okay.
It's just something I do.
So he's in the act of biting and you kind of make him bite his own cheek so that the act of biting hurts him?
Exactly.
Better than the finger. Better than the finger.
So you push in on both of, in this case, both of Aruka's cheeks.
Pushing in on.
I just do one cheek.
One cheek. Okay.
One finger.
Okay. All right.
And that works immediately?
Yeah, he stops immediately because, I mean, he's biting himself, so it hurts him as much as hurting the other dog.
But if a dog's already clamped down.
That's my fear, is I'm wondering how that would work. You know, I'm not going to have a lot of time to run through a checklist of things. I'm going to be going to the butt pretty quick.
That's what she said.
That's what he said. Wow.
Hey, it sounds more pleasant. I'm not disputing that. I hope it's the right answer. I mean, I'm willing to try it, but I'm just saying, you know, it's gotta work fast. But thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right. We got to take a quick break. We got plenty more people dialing in and we want your advice too. If you've tried the butt thing, I want to find out if anyone has tried the butt thing, first of all.
By the way, for those of you just tuning in, we're talking about dog training. Okay.
So when you hear tried the butt thing, don't get the wrong idea.
Just so you know.
Your call is coming up next. 1-800-520-1067, the world famous.
Oh, Bean's dog trainer is lying to Bean and telling him that the only way to get his dogs to stop fighting is to put his finger in their butt. And that, to me, is funny.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock. I think he meant it as an actual useful solution, but I'm glad we're doing this topic because people are writing in with lots of advice. Bob says, keep one of those mini room service-sized bottles of Tabasco sauce in your pocket. When they fight, take a dab on the finger, then put it in the corner of the dog's mouth, and she'll let go. Tabasco sauce apparently would be a bad surprise for Veruca.
Okay.
Eric writes in, Lisa May was starting to bite a bit, so I had to try the butt thing. Trust me, it worked, so that's good to know. It's been road-tested on Lisa, but we got time for a couple more calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we try, let's try Carlos. He is a dog trainer, and he's in Lake Forest. Let's see what Carlos has got to say about this advice.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, it's going well for all of us except for Bean.
You stick your finger in any dog's butt, you're going to get a couple of reactions. Number one, the dog's going to stick his tail between his legs and run.
Right.
Causing the dog to become more defensive.
Right, but that's good. That if the dog sticks his tail, and bulldogs can't stick their tail between their legs because they have tiny little tails. But if she runs, that's good news.
A defensive dog becomes an aggressive dog. Okay, that's where a defensive dog goes to. Number two, the dog's going to turn and bite you, applying with the frustration it had against the first dog.
That's even better. Okay.
Oh, no, because I've been
not better.
Dogs and it's not good.
Okay.
You know? Stitches are expensive and it hurts, and you're out of commission for a long time.
All right, so that's two.
I would rather the dog bit me than bit my older dog, though.
As would we.
And finally, your finger in the butt may cause her to fight the other dog harder because now she's taking it as, oh my God, this dog's doing this to me. I'm gonna pay her back even more.
Carlos, why did the quote professional let Bean head over to his house tell him that then?
Because it's if theory gets correct, you're causing a distraction to the dog's brain, causing it to let go. It's just the wrong distraction to cause at the moment.
Have you ever heard of that before?
I've heard of someone told. I had a trainer come up to me and tell me one time, if you want a dog to take a poop, you take a match, blow it, light a match.
Okay, all right. I don't think we need
I don't like where this is going at all.
I don't even know where this is going, but I'm against it.
Getting an awful lot of emails and some people calling saying about making loud noise. Have tried that. It does work in light play. It'll work to distract them and have them run over, but it does not work when they get into that frenzy where you know, where they're really fighting hard.
Yeah.
So thank you for the suggestion.
Have you tried? Max in Huntington Beach has an idea as far as sound goes. Hi, Max. Max.
Hey, how's it going?
What should he do for sound?
Penny can. Which is, you take a aluminum can, like a Coke can, throw a couple of pennies in it, tape the top of it,
and you shake it.
Have you tried that? What I was talking about. I've tried lots of different loud noise type things, and that doesn't work at all. Thank you for the
suggestion. What about an air horn? An air horn would work, wouldn't it?
That's pretty darn loud. Yeah.
I mean, I've tried lots of loud things.
Finger. It's a finger. What's wrong with you?
What's going on in your house? That's the first thing you thought of.
Come on.
We're talking about dog training here. You're talking about man love.
We all know this is code, right?
No. This isn't code at all.
It's not? Okay.
All right. Let's talk to Art real quick in Whittier. He's on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean show. Wow. Does Kevin have something to talk to his therapist about this week? Hey, Art.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa, man. How you doing?
Good advice or bad advice?
I think it's pretty good advice. I was a police officer for about 5 or 6 years. I was a dog trainer. I was a dog handler. We called it choking the dog out. You straddle the dog, you reach under, and
take it easy, dude. We got to be careful now.
Kevin was talking about choking the dog out, too. But
wait a minute.
Not like that.
Okay.
I do have to agree with Carlos. Sticking your finger up its ass is going to surprise you, going to turn on you, and it's going to bite you back.
Okay, but
once you choke the dog out,
How do you choke the dog out if it's actively fighting?
You need to straddle it to hold it still.
Right.
With your thumb on the top of its neck, you just crush. And crush is a strong word. You squeeze up with your bottom four fingers, causing it to lose constricted airway. It's going to grasp for air.
So basically the rear naked chokehold is what you're doing on your dog.
There you go. Do an MMA on it. It's going to gasp for breath and then just yank it off. And then let it know that you took it off and say, hey, I'm the alpha male here.
How you like me now, bitch? Something like that?
I don't see Bean doing that.
I don't see Bean performing any MMA moves. Gotta be honest.
None of these are good options, are they, officer? I mean, seriously, this is a bad deal all around for everybody.
You were a canine trainer for the LAPD, right?
No, not for the LAPD. I was for the military.
Okay, all right. Well, it's kind of same thing. I would think you would know what you're talking about.
Sounds like good advice, man. I very much appreciate the call. Thanks very much. All right. I think that's about all the time we have, but you can send me any further suggestions if you haven't at bean@krock.com, and I'll keep you guys posted. But I don't want to do what the trainer suggested, and I never will do what Kevin suggested.
I hope not. Let's talk to Michael Irwin, who is from careerbuilder.com. He's their senior career advisor.
Okay.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
So careerbuilder.com, what does that have to do with how germy is your job?
Well, you know what? This is probably the first time that I've had to talk about this subject. We're usually out there helping people find jobs, and we look at different workplace issues. And one that has come up recently is a lot more people are getting sick in their offices. And why are they getting sick? It's because there are germs. There's germs everywhere.
Is it possible that you should hold off on the germ topic until you can get some people jobs?
Maybe there are no jobs, so this is what they're
doing.
People
don't care about the germs right now. They just are happy to have a job.
Right.
You're going to see a lot more people sick. And, we're trying to help people find jobs as well.
Okay.
By the way, Michael, before we hear about the jobs on the list, it's really interesting that we would have you on today because we have had, since the start of the year, I feel like K-Rock is a petri dish. Like people who work together in a tiny office, they share, you know, they breathe the same air, basically. One guy gets sick, everybody gets sick. We just had to send a guy home today who's sick, for instance. And it sounds like exactly what you're talking about.
Well, DJs, radio DJs, come in number 4 on our list of the most germ-problemed areas. And I really think that's because you guys work so close together and you're using the same buttons. And a lot of the cleaners that you need to use, you probably can't put on your equipment or you're going to end up destroying it.
Oh, so we put it on. We don't care about the... Here's the thing about this list that shocked us. Radio DJ, number 4 on the list. Doctor, number 5. People who are sick go to doctors. Our job is more germy than doctors.
That is disturbing.
But I think doctors are washing their hands more, and I think they're using a lot more of the hand sanitizer. They're also not eating at their place of employment. So I think that because you sit at an area where you probably have some food, you probably have some something to drink there, and you're not washing your hands as much as possible.
Yeah.
I'm no doctor, but I think that's what it is. I wasn't surprised that teacher's number one, because dealing with kids all day long, that has to be a germ problem.
Teacher is the germiest job, because all the kids come in sick and they, you know, whatever. They touch a lot of stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
That seems like a given.
Now, besides the obvious microphone and control buttons that we touch here in the studio, I imagine that something else that we share as DJs a lot in common with lots of people in jobs is computer keyboards. Anyone who shares a computer keyboard, I mean, if somebody puts germs from his hands on a computer keyboard, Michael, how long does something like that live before the next person comes along and picks it up?
Well, we're finding that it lives longer than you would think, and we're finding that sometimes computer keyboards are worse than going in the bathroom. So you really need to make sure that you're using some sort of hand sanitizer and that you're wiping down your keyboard with something that has an antibacteria in it that can kill things, because just wiping it down with water is only going to spread the problem even more, and it's going to cause more people in your office to be sick.
I'm not a fan of statistics, because I think they can be very misleading, and you start out your article with, did you know that the average toilet seat is 400 times cleaner than your desk?
And that is because you use a lot of bleach on there, and you use a lot of harsh cleaners that you can't use on your desk. You can't use
bleach. 400 times, is that an accurate number, or are you just saying it's way more dirty?
No, that is the number that we got from the University of Arizona. So they actually did some big study. So that is an actual number. When anything gets over 100%, I question it too. But this is 400 times cleaner than the bathroom.
So we should eat off of the toilet seat, is what you're saying, not your desk.
No, I'm definitely
you're
not
saying
that.
Okay.
Hey, when you really stop and think about it, though, your butt, the part that is touching the toilet seat, the part that is in your pants, doesn't really come in contact with germs all day long like your hands do,
right,
for instance. I mean, it does kind of make sense that that part of your butt would be relatively clean. It's only up against your clean clothes.
You know what? I don't have a study on that, but I'll just go with what you're saying.
No, this is the best conversation ever.
What? I spilled water on this countertop yesterday and was wiping it up, and the stuff that came up on the paper towel was disgusting, and Mike had just cleaned this off last week.
And
of course, I don't know what
you
he used.
Though, why are your coworkers not cleaning up after themselves? What do their apartments look like?
If
can't clean up a counter, they can't wash a dish in the sink.
If you
found
a radio, radio station, a regular radio station as number four on the list, K-Rock would easily be number one above teachers.
Yeah,
because
we've got troubles.
It's a gross place. Okay, so the list is first one is teachers, second one is accountants.
Mm-hmm. We thought what was interesting with accountants is they're always at their desks, and actually their pens ranked number one as the germiest. So never take a pen to sign something from your accountant when you're going out and doing your taxes.
Okay.
Number
three is banker. Is that because of coins?
That is because of money.
Money,
yeah.
It touches everybody and anyone. It touches surfaces. So that's another industry that, you know, there's no way to clean your money, but you just have to wash your hands after.
Every once in a while, you'll see a study that they do where they take dollar bills, random dollar bills out of circulation and run them through the lab, and it's unbelievable the percentage of them that have body fluids, shall I say, and the percentage of them that have drugs on them too. I mean, it's just crazy how much stuff lives
on
your
money.
That's
why I try to use my ATM card now all the time. I know where my hands have been, and I know when I washed them. So.
Number five is doctor.
Doctors, definitely. I mean, they're touching sick people all day long, but they do take a lot of precautions to keep themselves healthy. And we actually found that doctors don't call off as sick as much as other people do. So some of this stuff is definitely working what they're doing.
Number six is television.
They have access to the good drugs, too.
That's
remember.
True.
Exactly.
Number six is television producer.
Same thing. They're meeting a lot of different people. They're sharing spaces with different workers. They're eating in places. So just like in radio, they're cross-contaminating the germs.
So basically, people who sit at their desk and come in contact with a lot of people, that's a problem.
That's a problem. That's one you need to, if it's not daily, weekly, you need to use some of those antibacterial wipes that you can buy and wipe down everything, not just your keyboard. The phone is really disgusting, too. When we were looking through things, your mouth is constantly on this phone, and the germs just harbor there because it's warm. Your breath is keeping them alive.
I have so much work to do tomorrow.
You guys have headphones. Headphones is another thing. You wouldn't believe someone.
Oh, I keep my own. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We're talking to Michael Irwin, by the way, who's with CareerBuilder.com about their study of the germiest jobs in America. Ever since that famous, legendary television piece on 2020 a few years ago where they showed the black light in the hotel room that made none of us ever want to lay on a blanket again.
Yes.
Every time I go in a hotel now, I always think about phones, I understand, are horrible in hotels, and the television remote control is apparently the germiest thing you'll ever find in a hotel because it never gets cleaned, and every single person that's in that room all year long uses it.
No, that makes sense.
And we don't actually have a study on this, but it's also the glasses that you would drink out of in a hotel room. So
the ones that are the ones that are wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, that was on the same 2020. I saw that exact same show.
And they just rewrap them.
They just run hot water on them and rewrap them. Some places do. I'm not saying everything. Don't send me.
All right, let me ask you a question in a different area, though, because this is kind of what I heard a long time ago, and I've kind of been living by it. I don't get sick all that often.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it seem like if you spend a lot of time disinfecting and all that kind of stuff that your body's not going to have natural resistance to
We've heard that before,
to germs?
Yeah.
Like if things are too clean, then when you do come in contact with germs, your body doesn't know how to handle it, you get sick. I feel like I come to work here every day, it's one of the worst, and yet I still don't get sick very often, so what should I do? I mean, should I try to get...
Are you building up resistance?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's probably... And I mean, that goes to when people get the flu shot. Some people who get the flu shot don't still get the flu. Some people don't. So it really depends on your body. It depends on your lifestyle. If you're a healthier person, you're going to get less disease. But we still encourage everybody to clean up their work area, clean up the public area at work, so that if somebody doesn't have a strong immune system, you're not causing them to have to take time off.
Right. Well, it's a very icky list. I don't mind telling you that. And you can find it at careerbuilder.com. Hey, Michael, we got something else we want to ask you about off the air. Can you hold on for 1 second? We'll put you
on
hold. Definitely. All right. Fantastic. Michael Irwin has been our guest, careerbuilder.com senior career advisor. So don't touch anything. That's what we're telling you here. Shayla Hershey is going to be our guest after the news. She's got, 38 triple K boobs.
Boobies!
So we'll find out what's up with that on the way after the news. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday. What's happening, Ralph?
Nothing good's happening. That's what I'm telling you.
No.
Carmen Electra has lost the first round in her lawsuit against the Naked Women's Wrestling League.
Boobies!
What's happening
that
with that?
That is unacceptable. I don't know. I'm not really following this case. No. I just hate to see Carmen Electra sad.
She's
Naked
on the right
Women's
side.
Naked Women's Wrestling League sounds like something that'd be worth following.
You don't remember when she was hosting that? When they were doing those pay-per-view shows?
I don't.
She was. She was... one of the judges hosts of the gig, and apparently she thinks they owe her money because they released some DVDs that included her image, such as Twin Peaks, Operation Naked Storm, Tag Team Dream, and Bush versus Hussein. I'm not quite sure how exactly that works into the Naked Wrestling League, but she won some cash, and apparently the judge tossed out the first round of her lawsuit because she was claiming negligence and he didn't see how it applied to this case. He says it's more of a breach of contract case. So anyway, all you need to know is Carmen Electra's sad, and that makes me sad.
Yeah.
But I think she should lose some clothing. She'd be like a strip courtroom, you know? If you lose, you lose a piece of clothing. They lose a piece of clothing until someone's finally naked.
You know, it'd be a lot easier to get juries if you did that.
I think you're right, Lisa. I know I would
cannons,
do my duty.
People. Big old boobies!
MTV has compiled the list of the biggest badasses of all time from the movies. Top 10 greatest movie badasses of all time. MTV's list.
So these aren't necessarily villains. They're just
badasses. Just the tough, all right. Badass mother.
All right.
Just talking about Shaft. Badasses.
All right.
Can I guess?
All right.
Napoleon Dynamite.
See, this is why I was hesitant to let him guess, because I knew there would be something bad.
He's number one, and now I took the air out of your bit.
All right. Top 10 badasses.
I'm not feeling well enough to handle being today.
You sick too?
That's the problem.
Why everyone's sick here?
Yeah.
Wow. We've got to stop making out.
John Rambo, number 10.
Okay.
Okay.
First Blood.
Early John Rambo, yeah.
Hey, late John Rambo. Still kick your ass, Kevin.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, you got any guns? You got to open nobody.
Boba Fett, number 9. He's a badass. He's a bad bounty hunter mother humper.
I guess.
Khan from Star Trek.
Sure.
Khan Noonien Singh, number 8 on the list. Pike Bishop from The Wild Bunch. You ever seen that classic Western, The Wild Bunch?
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, that's a goodie. You got to check it out.
The guy's name is Pipe?
Pike.
Oh, Pike.
Pike. Pipe was my porn star name. Pipe Bishop.
Sarah Connor from The Terminator.
She was pretty badass.
Okay.
Pretty
bad, yeah, she was.
I can see that.
Walker from Point Blank.
Is that, what's his name?
You're thinking of Point Break.
Yeah, I am. Point Blank.
Point
what
Blank.
Is that?
It's a Lee Marvin movie. Never seen it?
No.
No, it's classic.
Yeah, I don't even think I've seen that one.
Mad Max, number 4.
Yeah.
He's a badass.
Okay. Yeah.
John McClane from Die Hard movies.
Sure.
Sure.
Badass. Ellen Ripley from the Alien movies.
You bet.
Sure.
Okay. Sigourney Weaver's character.
I can see that.
Badass, right? Number 1, greatest movie badass of all time. Who do you think?
The countdown doesn't stop till we hit the top.
Darth Vader.
Nah. No. Bad villain, bad guy, not a badass.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, you have to know.
Well,
I'm not telling you until you guess. That's how about that? We'll be here
no
all day.
Country for Old Men, dude.
Come on. Greatest movie badass
Call
of all
it
time.
Trendle, that guy?
Yeah.
No. I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know.
You know. You're just not applying yourself. And so often is your case, Kevin. You're just
Hannibal
not
Lecter?
Applying yourself.
Hannibal Lecter.
No.
All right.
He's a badass.
No.
Clint Eastwood?
Dirty Harry. Dirty. Well done, Omar. Thank you. Thank you for paying attention. Thank you for playing our game.
DJ Omar Khan.
Wow. Well done, Wicca Wiki. Well done. Dirty Harry.
How about that?
How about that? Well done.
You're looking down the barrel of a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world. You have to ask yourself a question. Did you fire 6 shots or at least 5?
That's close.
Do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Nailed it.
Great stuff. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Robert Wagner is 79 years old today. I don't get to do my Robert Wagner impression very often. Do you mind if
I did one.
Oh, yeah. Do you mind if I mind if I indulge myself with my Robert Wagner impression?
All right.
Terrific. My Robert Wagner impression. Thank you. Thank you so much. Laura Dern is 42 years old today. Elizabeth Banks. Oh.
Yeah.
She is currently can be seen in the new DVD of Zach and Mary Make a Porno. Yes, she's 35. And Emma Roberts, who is daughter of Eric Roberts.
Yeah, Eric.
And niece of Julia Roberts. Yeah, Julia.
No.
She's 18 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Let's talk to Shayla Hershey. Shayla had a very, very big problem. Her boobs were only 34 triple F. And
Thank God she took care of that.
She wanted to go bigger. And the state of Texas said no, went to Brazil. Got it taken care
like
of.
Every smart girl should.
Shayla?
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Shayla, congratulations on being in the Guinness Book of World Records for the world's largest breasts. How do you feel?
Thank you. I feel great. And yeah. I'm so happy that I could get the world record with the large breasts in the world.
Sure. How many surgeries have you had now?
Just on the breast, I had about 11.
11.
11 all for your breasts?
All for my breasts.
Okay.
And around the body, like some lipo and tummy tuck and butt implants. I had total with surgery, like 18 surgeries.
Wow. Shayla, can I ask right off the bat, how did you afford all this surgery?
How can I afford it?
Yeah. I mean, that would cost a ton of money.
Well, it's my cousin does my plastic surgery. So
Is your cousin a doctor?
Nope.
He's a doctor.
Just works out of a van in a Walmart.
How big were your forgive the personal question, Shayla, but of course we have to talk about your breasts some. How large were they when you started out during your first surgery? Where did you begin?
I began with a small C, and then I went for double C, triple Ds, and then I went triple F, and then keep going.
Okay. So when you're at triple D, let's say, for example, don't you start having, back trouble? Everybody seems that has boobs that big seems to complain
about...
It's
harder to find bras.
You can't stand up straight.
It's hard to get clothes that fit.
Actually, the triple D, I didn't have any problem at all. I started to have a problem with my triple F.
Triple F.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard to find a bra. It's hard to find clothes and... That's only the time I start to have problems.
Okay,
that makes a lot of sense because, of course, that would be very difficult because nothing's made for that size. So why go from a triple F to get bigger then?
Because I want to have a world record. That's why.
A world record.
You're going for the world record.
Huh. Are you?
Yes, 2010.
What do you do for? You're not done? Did you
I'm not done yet. I'm going to have some more surgery in November.
You're going to go bigger.
You know, you could just watch TV for a really long time and break that world record. It would be easier.
Actually, I like to do plastic surgery. I'm happy with that.
Okay, so triple, what are you now, triple K's? Not big enough. You're going to go bigger than that.
Maybe.
Aren't they extremely uncomfortable to live with, Shayla?
To sleep?
No, it's very cool. Everybody loves me.
Nobody can hug you.
Around me.
No, yeah, I love you. I love you very much, but it seems like they would be uncomfortable. I mean, I read in an article that you cannot drive because your breasts are so big you can't fit behind the wheel of a car. Is that true?
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Oh, so that's not true. You can drive.
I can drive. You know, my breast doesn't stop me anything. The only thing is just for sleep. I can't sleep on my stomach anymore in such a good position. And I can't sleep. That's the only problem.
I see. Do you have to buy the seat in front of you on an airplane so that, so that there's room?
But Shayla, please be honest, because I think most people would not enjoy having something that large attached to their body. There have to be times where it is inconvenient and uncomfortable for you.
Are you crazy?
No.
If
no.
I didn't like to have them, I would take them out. Why do I need to have such large breasts if I'm not happy with them? I have those large breasts because I like and I love and I feel myself more, you know, more self-esteem, and I'm very happy with them.
But
no problem.
But let me ask you this. 38 triple K, not enough self-esteem?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Did you start at negative zero self-esteem?
All right. Shayla,
have zero.
Yeah, clearly. Now you have 38 triple K, right? How are you doing? How are you doing with the men? What kind of attention are you getting from the gentlemen?
There's all kind of attention. Some you know, actually, my attention is more about women. The woman gets more, give me more attention than the men. The men look, they scared. They scared to come talk to me.
The men are scared of you.
They are very scared of me.
Now, are the women angry at you, or are they just curious?
Yeah. You know, sort of. A lot of women come to me and want to touch them, want to see, oh my God, how big are they? Are they real? You know. And some women say, that's really stupid.
Right.
Really,
are they real, by the way? What, speaking of stupid, one woman is asking, are they real?
The ones who can't believe you do this on purpose?
I think they look at me and say, I don't know which question I'm going to ask her. Let me ask, is that real?
Yeah. You know? Now, do you use them for work? Are you a stripper? Are you in porn? Anything that would feature
pictures?
Them?
Pictures?
No.
No, you're
not. You see my website, there is nothing there. There is nothing new. That's what makes me different than other girls. This boob job to be in a porn industry. I don't want that. I don't need that. I think I do this to be happy with myself.
Okay.
And I have a 9-year-old son. I would never disappoint him.
You have a 9-year-old son.
That's right.
Do all of his friends regularly ask to come over to your house to do homework?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Shayla, you don't think you would get more of the attention and more of the self-esteem that you desire if you were to do pictures? If you were to do pictures or movies?
No, I don't like that. I don't feel myself comfortable and take off my clothes. No.
Mm.
I feel comfortable doing things I like. Like, I'm writing a book about my life. My biography is going to be ready end of the year.
Okay.
Next year, we are trying to write another book in English. So I spend more of my time reading, writing.
All right. Now, when Texas said to you, legally, we're not going to let you have another breast enlargement surgery, did you?
I got pissed off.
I'm sorry, what?
I got really pissed off about that.
You're mad about that.
Okay. Yeah, the FDA has nothing to do with the woman. No, the woman has to do whatever they want to do.
Okay, they have to do with your safety, though. That's their job. And they didn't think it was safe.
I know, honey, but it's a safety. I'm not dead. You know, they told me my boob's going to explode, my boob's going to do this. What happened? I'm here, I'm alive.
Did you at least take a breath and go, well, if the state of Texas, where they like everything big, if they say no, maybe I shouldn't think about going to Brazil to have another surgery? Did that occur to you just even for a fleeting moment?
No.
No. Okay.
I didn't even think, because when I want something, I go for it.
Okay.
I don't stay home and think, oh my gosh, should I do it? Should I, you know, I just go and do it, and I'm really happy. I didn't regret nothing. I would do everything again.
Okay.
We are speaking with the beautiful Shayla Hershey. Her pictures are at krock.com and a link to her MySpace page. And I know when you hear us describe the 38 triple K, you're thinking that this is some sort of a hideous freak show, but you're going to be surprised when you look at Shayla's pictures that for a woman who's not a big woman, she actually kind of pulls it off a little bit. I mean, I think
Am I right, guys? She actually looks really good. The boobs are too big, but it doesn't look like a circus act or anything like you would expect just hearing those numbers.
Right.
You know, it's going to be showing the inside of this week, my operation, how I used to look before and after.
Where is that going to be? What's
the insider? The insider.
The insider loves
this sort of thing. Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, we'll definitely
do that. They have been following me for about a year and a half, and they actually shoot a reality show with me.
Okay.
And they actually show my other side. You know, they don't show just the breast. We're going to Brazil. I open the door of my family, my fans, you know, the TV show I used to work in Brazil. So it's not just the breast.
Does your family have any concerns?
Surprise when you watch the show.
Does your family have any concerns about the size?
Oh, my God. My family just hate this thing about me, you know. They love me, but they hate this.
They don't like
crazy
it.
Stuff for plastic surgery. They think the woman should be beautiful the way they are.
Right.
Well, I mean, Shayla, you are a very, very pretty woman, and you would have been a pretty woman had you not gotten any of these breast enlargement surgeries. You don't need these to be a pretty person inside or out.
Take it down a notch here, buddy.
I'm just saying, I feel like you're overcompensating for something, and you don't need to because you seem like a very pretty and a very smart woman, and I wish you were happier with that.
I know, but everybody say that, but I'm not happy. I love, you know, if I take my breasts out, I think I'll die without them. You know,
I support you. I think you're doing the right thing. I think it's just
you support me.
Yes.
No,
not dying. I support your happiness, and I support the fact that you're not finished yet. That you're still going on the road to bigger boobs. I think that's
nice. Maybe I'll regret it to put triple M's and.
How do you know? How do you know unless you try, though?
I think K's are fine. I think, look, Shayla, if you've already got the world record, there's no reason to get a bigger one now because wait for somebody else to beat you before you go back in to get something else.
No, I don't like to be bit by anyone.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
I'm very competitive. I already got my breast already bolted, and I want to try.
Okay,
if I don't like, I can always go back smaller.
I'm with you. I don't know why Bean is being so negative. I understand that.
Okay.
You're doing the right thing, Shayla.
Go to krock.com. You can get a link to Shayla's MySpace page, or her website is shaylahershey.net. Shayla, you are delightful. I'm glad we got the chance to talk to you, and good luck with your boobs, okay?
Thanks so much. You guys have a nice day.
All right, you do good work.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What are you trying to talk her out of it for?
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, I can't argue with that. Kevin's been saying for years that the best movies go straight to DVD so that people can own them faster. Have you found that to be your experience in the video vault, Ralph?
Not so much.
No?
Not after Beer for My Horses, Finger in the Butt for My Men, or whatever it was you guys were talking about.
Bait Shop was the other one.
Bait Shop with Bill Engvall. I've had a rough run of direct-to-DVD films.
Direct-to-DVD films usually, to me, mean too high a quality to actually open in a theater. It can't contain the quality. Nope.
They can't contain the quality at a big screen, have to compress it down to a smaller screen.
Well, too many crowds. You can't get 5,000 people showing up every time a movie's on the big screen. So that's why you make it on DVD.
I think the difference between a bad movie on the big screen versus on the DVD, it's like it's a natural disaster versus a dirty bomb. Natural disaster, maybe you get some warning, you know, they tell you the hurricane's coming, you can board up your windows, you can save your loved ones and your pets, but the dirty bomb, you don't even see it coming, man. You just pick it up in the store, you bring it home to your house, you pop in the DVD player, next thing you know.
Well, wait a minute, you're not talking negatively about Private Valentine's Blonde and Dangerous,
That's
are
the
you?
Only way to talk about it, Kevin. There is no positive spin I could put on Private Valentine. But thanks for
but
making
Jessica
me watch, by the way.
Jessica Simpson stars in it, though, and she's a quality actress.
Sure, it's got that going for it. Private Valentine is...
Good?
No.
Excellent?
No, it's horrible.
High quality?
It's obviously a ripoff of Private Benjamin, which was made years ago with Goldie Hawn, where she played a pampered, spoiled rich woman who ends up in the army after her husband dies.
Okay.
Because she thinks it'll help her, find herself. And she learns an important lesson while in the army, and she meets some friends there that change her life. And
is the important lesson that she doesn't want to be in the army?
No, it's that she becomes a better person by learning to depend on herself and others and pick a challenge, pick a service, set yourself apart, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is not as good. And I don't want to just blame Jessica Simpson completely. I'd also like to blame the director, Steve Miner, in case anyone knows him. I'd like to mention his name.
Okay.
And a pox on April Blair and Kelly Bow, who wrote this piece of crap. I'd like to make sure that they get their fair share of blame as well.
Okay.
Figures two broads wrote this. Let's take a look at Private Valentine, shall we? Megan Valentine is an actress. She's America's sweetheart.
Her last name is Valentine?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
She's a very popular actress. She does, you know, romantic comedies and that kind of stuff. And, and America just loves her.
Mm-hmm.
And she has all the trappings of fame and fortune. She's got her entourage to take care of her, and she's got her handlers and her agent and her manager. And she's got her cousin who's her business manager, and she lives in a palace, and she's very well cared for. And every one of these characters is a horrible cliche.
Okay.
Right down to the gay manager who looks over her career so carefully.
All right. I'm sorry I had to be a little rough with your handlers, but that's what a good manager does. He manages. Don't give me that pout. How long have we been together now?
Since I was 13.
And have I ever stared you wrong?
When you told me my period was the devil's way of saying hi.
She said her period was the devil's way of saying hi. Okay.
So he did steer her wrong, is what she said.
That's what I'm saying. That's a wrong steer right there. These are the kind of things that passes for jokes, boys and girls.
Is that a harbinger of things to come?
Valentine. The good news is her agent is played by the redemptive Steve Guttenberg, able to raise any film above horrible.
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. No. He adds to the mess. He's the ballast that's sinking the ship, as well as Jessica Simpson is. Here, Steve Guttenberg has the unfortunate duty of explaining to Megan Valentine that her cousin Barry, who was her business manager, actually embezzled all of her private earnings.
Wow.
And so she was worth $15 million, but now that's all gone, and she is penniless and is about to lose her home.
Barry cashed out all your investments. I don't even know if you can keep the house.
I guess I can just stay in the guest house.
That's part of the house, kitten.
Oh, yeah.
See? She's so pampered and protected, she doesn't even realize that the guest house is part of the house that she'd be losing.
Mm.
It sounds like she's playing the real-life Jessica Simpson, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you don't get to have that. You don't get to have it both ways. You don't get to be genuinely stupid and then cash in on your stupidity by playing somebody who's stupid.
Yeah.
No.
And that's not the way it works. And act like you've been crafting this character.
Well, Megan gets drunk after the world premiere of one of her movies and ends up sleeping on the sidewalk in Hollywood. Okay. And as luck would have it, she is passed out in front of an Army recruitment office.
What are the chances?
And she has to use the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
So she goes inside, and while she's inside, she sees a few of these promotional videos promoting the Army. And she thinks that just may be what she needs now that she's penniless and she doesn't have any real friends. She needs to find herself by enlisting in the U.S. Army.
Are you telling me a Hollywood actress really wants to join the United States Army?
Yeah.
Are you ready to embrace the core values that the Army holds dear? Loyalty, duty, respect, honor, integrity, and courage?
It's like you're totally reading my mind.
See, she enlists just because the recruiter is really cute. He's a cute guy, and so she's even more influenced.
That scene certainly makes me forget Stripes, I'll tell you that.
That could happen, by the way.
And you know what happens when you enlist in the Army, and I didn't realize this until I watched this very well-researched and informative film, Private Valentine, is that they immediately put you on a bus from the recruitment office and send you right to boot camp.
At that second?
You didn't even get to pack or anything?
No, Lisa. You go in your Dolce & Gabbana gown that you're wearing to your premiere and your pumps and everything. You just grab your handbag and you get put on a bus to North Carolina for basic training.
Wow, that's weird.
Which seems abrupt.
It does seem abrupt, and I think, really counterproductive when it comes to packing up your goods and things like that you would need.
Sure.
But apparently this is the way it works. And when she gets to basic training, she runs across the powerhouse actress that is Vivica A. Fox, who plays the drill sergeant there.
Okay.
Of course she does.
And Megan finds out, by the way, that this isn't what she signed up for at all. This
isn't
the character building exercise she thought at all, because people are yelling at her and screaming and making her do push-ups and things. And she is just decided she's made a mistake. And she tries to explain that to the drill sergeant, who gives her, by the way, nothing but sarcasm in return.
See, this really isn't what I was picturing when that recruitery guy was telling me about me finding myself.
Really? Well, come on over here a second, sweetheart. But first, who are you wearing?
Dolce & Gabbana.
Ah, stunning.
She doesn't mean that. She doesn't mean that she looks stunning in that gown.
But she said stunning.
No,
like she wanted
she's
it.
Being sarcastic to her.
Oh.
Then she starts yelling at her how she's the property of the United States government and she doesn't have any rights anymore, and she makes Megan very sad.
Mm-hmm.
So Megan has to enter into boot camp and has to do all the things everyone else has to do, including 3-mile runs and obstacle courses and things like that. And here's where the one funny moment of the film happens.
There was one?
Usually when I look at these horrible films, I find no redeeming qualities. But there was a very, very funny moment in this film while Jessica Simpson is running a 3-mile run, talking to the girls that are also in her squadron, mm-hmm. or platoon, whatever you call it. And they mention something about what they've read about her in the gossip columns, because she is a big star.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, finally, there is a funny moment in this picture.
I think I'm going to die. Not my mommy.
Weren't you just on the cover of some fitness magazine?
Yeah. I don't work out. I have a high metabolism.
What? You look like that without working out?
It's really hard for me to gain weight.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's really hard for you to gain weight. Oh,
you're right.
Now that is funny.
That's quality.
Now I apologize to April Blair and Kelly Bow, because that is a funny, funny line. Because she's a big fat ass.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. She's trying to get in touch with her agent, Steve Guttenberg, to get her out of this situation. Because right. this isn't what she signed up for.
Yeah, she made a terrible mistake, obviously.
She calls it an impulse purchase.
Oh, no.
She's done.
Yes.
Because she's used to buying a lot of things. And Guttenberg has been unavailable, but he gets her message on the answering machine in his office. And there's all kinds of confusion.
Oh, Sydney, it's me. I made a mistake. I need your help. I crashed my car and now I'm at the Army and everyone's yelling at me.
She crashed her car and went to Armani?
Why would anyone yell at her at Armani?
See? She said Army, and he thought she said Armani.
That's a misunderstanding,
because that's the world he lives in, where Army, no. Armani, yes. That's what he's hearing.
That's unfortunate.
See? You don't get it.
Isn't it hard to get movies made in Hollywood, isn't it?
Apparently not.
I mean, what? How does this slip
I'm pretty
through?
Sure this was funded by the Russian mob. I think that's how they made this movie. Joe Simpson gave up his daughter Ashley for sexual favors to some Russian mobster in order to get the funds to make this.
All right.
Well, he can't get her out. He's working very hard to get her out, Steve Guttenberg is, but she's stuck in there because she signed a contract.
Sure.
So she has to go through the obstacle course. And now that she's been nicknamed Hollywood by Vivica A. Fox, the drill sergeant.
Okay.
A little on the nose for me, but I'll go with
it. No, that's creative.
She is continually saying wacky things about how she would ordinarily live her life versus how she's now living her life. When she forgets her M16 rifle, she says, usually I've got a personal assistant who handles those things for me. See, you see how she's always comparing this life
she's
to her
fish
previous
out of water.
Life?
Yeah,
that's funny.
And so you get an idea. She's on the obstacle course, and this happens.
Hello, now I ain't got all day. Move it. Hello, Hollywood. Lazy Bob.
Please, somebody call my stunt double. She lives for this stuff.
See, she lives, her stunt double would appreciate that obstacle course.
But her stunt double's not in the Army.
No,
I don't understand. I'm
no.
sorry.
No, she has to do her own stunts in this particular case.
Ah.
And she is learning an important lesson. Now, here's the thing. Weeks go by in basic training.
Yeah.
And she starts to bond around the much less fortunate girls that she's working with, including a black single mother.
Right.
Who's in the Army so she can go to college to raise money for her family.
Right.
A Latina who's going to go to medical school and is using the Army as a way to pay for medical school.
Okay.
A poor white trash girl whose brother died in Iraq, so she has joined the Army in tribute to him.
Okay.
I'm just saying, she is surrounded by a central casting's dream of people.
Human stereotypes, right?
People that you would want to find yourself in a barracks with. Every race, creed, and color is compensated for.
That's great.
Case.
This is a nice message.
But here's the thing about Private Valentine. This is the most real her life has ever been. And so she learns an important lesson.
Do not tell me that.
She learns an important lesson one night on the floor as they're all sitting around sharing their stories.
For the first time in my life, I'm my own person. And I have real friends.
Yes. Yes, for the first time in her life, She's got real friends, Kevin.
That's great.
But then her agent comes along and finds a way, a loophole in the contract to get her out of the Army.
But I'm guessing she doesn't want to get out now.
She does. She gets out. She goes back to her old life.
What?
She goes back to her old life of the premieres and the pampering and the breakfast in bed. But is she happy? No. No, I tell you.
No.
No, because she realizes she has let down her platoon because there's the big competition coming up between the bad female soldiers and her friends where they have to survive in the wilderness for 24 hours and bring home a wounded soldier, which is a big dummy in a uniform.
Right.
Has to be brought back to camp. And the winner of that competition gets a weekend pass. And I'll tell you, that poor black girl sure could use that pass to go see her little daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so Private Valentine goes back into the Army so that she can lead her platoon on that very special 24-hour mission that they have to go out at the end of basic training.
Why would they take her back into the Army when she just quit in basic training?
Because she goes and says, if you take me back and let me finish basic training, I'll do a year in the USO and I will perform for you for the troops.
Okay.
And so the crusty old general relents and lets her go in. Mm. And she is put in charge of her group of soldiers.
So now the girl that quit is leading them.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're starting to doubt themselves. But no, Private Valentine will have none of it.
Okay. Army time. Are we tough enough?
Yes.
Are we brave enough?
Yes.
Are we ready to kick some ass?
Yes.
I think I'm going to throw up.
You're in the right place for that. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. And she leads them on to victory.
Nope, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
That does not happen.
Victory.
Nope.
And they all garner new respect for her.
And they get a weekend off?
And they get a weekend off. And she gets on a helicopter and goes to her USO tour to entertain those kids in Afghanistan and Iraq because that's how she is.
Would you go so far as to say they all learned a valuable lesson?
I think everyone learns a valuable lesson. Most of all, me, which is never effing rent another movie that Jessica Simpson is starring in because I wanted to pluck my eyes out with knitting needles by the end of this film.
That got made. That movie was written and then shot and then released.
They used actual film.
So buy it?
They recorded
what
was happening in front of the camera on actual film. For this film.
Private Valentine, Blonde and Dangerous, if you'd like to rent that.
The Army will never be the same. That's what they say on the cover of the box here.
Well, look, she's saluting.
She is saluting. Aww. And she's pushing out her big, giant cans.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah, she sure looks good here as opposed to the big fat ass she is now. So she's got that going for her.
So, two thumbs up?
There's two thumbs involved. Where I'm going to stick them, I really can't say at this point.
All right. This Friday night, the Kevin and Bean Show is taking over a place called On the Rocks. We were there last year. It's just above the Roxy on Sunset Boulevard. DJ Omar Khan is going to be spinning. No host bar with drink specials. Why are we there? It's our annual singles party. This time, it's the Horror Bowl singles party because it's happening on Friday the 13th, brought to you by New Line Cinema's Friday the 13th in theaters everywhere this Friday. And we're going to give away, we don't have much time, but we'll give away a couple of pairs of tickets right now on K-Rock.
If you're single, then Valentine's Day is the scariest day of the year. That's why Kevin and Bean are having their horrible singles party Friday the 13th.
Jason? Jason, yes. In the hockey mask?
Yes, this is me, Jason Voorhees.
Are you going to be joining us Friday night for the horrible singles party?
I may not be joining you, but I'll be taking you apart.
See, that's serial killer comedy. All right, we don't have much time here, Jason, but let's give away a couple of pairs of tickets for the singles party for our listeners that are on the line that are 21 and over. Who do you like?
I like Jana from Yorba Linda.
All right, Jana, good morning.
Good morning.
Bad Valentine's Day. What happened?
Yes. So last Valentine's Day, my boyfriend broke up with me with a text message.
Sweet.
Wait a minute. On Valentine's Day?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some guys will do anything to get out of having to buy a present. That's for sure.
I know. It's okay. We've only been together about 6 months, so it was okay.
OMG, FULLL, OLLOL.
What did he, if you remember, what did he say in the text? How did he break up with you?
He just said he didn't think that things were working out and that we were kind of not in the same place in our lives. And actually, we ended up talking later on the phone, but he kind of did the damage to the text message.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to say it.
Yeah.
Wow. Can't wait 1 second.
All right. Do you think that you are were?
Oh yeah.
was it his mistake? Do you think he made a mistake because you're actually a great person? It would be a fine addition to the singles party Friday night.
Yeah, I think so. I'm a huge K-Rock fan. I'm going to be a physician assistant in a couple months, and I don't know. I'm just a pretty fun person all around.
I like I'm just saying, the kind of woman that gets broken up by text. I just wonder what kind of woman she is.
Well,
but we'll take
it.
What
kind of guy
it.
He is.
Could be her, could be him. You never know. All right, I'm in with her.
Yeah, me too.
Let's talk to Jordan next from Garden Grove. He's a prince.
Okay, Jordan.
Kevin Bean.
What happened on Valentine's Day, dude?
All right. Well, it was a couple years ago, and so I'm with my girlfriend, right?
Yep.
I've been trying to get with another girl, though, for a long time, and that night we ended up going out because my girlfriend had to work late. So...
Okay, wait a minute. So your girlfriend was working on Valentine's night, so you went out with the other girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So one thing led to another, and how you say it, we were in my truck.
Sure.
And I had the Palm Pilot phone that was touchscreen, and not to my knowledge, I ended up touching the screen in the middle of the act, and so my girlfriend was sitting listening on the phone. But I didn't know this the whole time, so I go to drop the first girl off, go to my girlfriend's house, and she accuses me of cheating.
You're
and I
tell
her,
that bitch.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Wow.
So you cheated on her, and then you lied to her about it. You are the kind of guy that the women are going to be looking for this Friday night, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, I try my best.
I'd like to say good work and nope.com.
Thank you, Kevin.
Anyone else?
It's her fault for listening.
Well, here's the thing.
She shouldn't be listening in.
We really do want the kind of people that girls are excited to meet. And
we
the
like
kind
our
of,
listeners.
For one night.
Right, for one night.
So, Jason, you're saying if a guy accidentally dials you while he's macking on another girl, go ahead and hang up. Be respectful.
I think Jason's gone.
No, I think he's talking to you.
Talking to you. Is that your name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I already hung up on the caller. But
I thought that was the caller.
Yeah, well, it could have been. I don't know.
All right.
We're out of time, unfortunately. We're going to have the people screen a little bit more off the air. So if you're still on hold, please please hold on, and we'll have somebody get to you.
All right.
And let Jason, if you remember, that's your name. Why don't you also advise people they want to enter at krock.com. We're doing something very special for the singles party this year.
On krock.com, we're asking you to enter your photos that represent your worst Valentine's Day nightmare. Your horror Valentine stories represented in a creative photograph. We'll choose our favorite, and that person will get a pair of tickets to the party.
So it doesn't have to a picture from. You just have to recreate it however you think is...
Any photograph you think represents a horror dating story.
All right. Okay. Fantastic.
All right. Very good, Jason. Thank you. We'll have more tickets to give away during the morning show tomorrow and more this afternoon between 5 and 6 on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. We'll be right back after this.
Great deals await at sandiego.org. San Diego. Happy happens.
Yeah, it does.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
In their defense, happy does happen. I mean, that's pretty accurate.
We can't argue that. Yeah.
All right. Are we going to have another showbiz report, or are we just going to say goodbye?
I think so. We pretty much, while Ralph's coming in, though, we do need to come up with a better slogan for San Diego, don't you think?
Should we call him? Come up with some slogans?
Really, happy happens. I mean, really, that's what they're going with?
They paid some people big money to come up with that.
San Diego's one of the best cities in the country. They can only come up with happy happens?
Happy does happen.
Come on.
But you can't deny that happy does happen.
Okay. All right. It's good.
I've been pretty happy in San Diego.
Ralph, it's your time for the showbiz beat.
I feel bad.
Why?
For Dave the King of Mexico.
Why?
Well, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
First of all, he's Dave the King of Mexico.
Right.
That's a heavy burden right there.
Guy announces today in Stockholm, Sweden, that he has broken, nay, shattered, the record for nonstop broadcast television watching. The Guinness World Book of Records has given Suresh Joachim the record for clocking in 72 hours of nonstop broadcast television watching.
Yay!
Got the record.
Didn't Dave do 100?
Yep.
Yep. 100 hours of television watching.
Twice. One of the times he did 100 hours didn't get the record.
Right.
The other time he did, I don't know, 76, didn't get the record.
Right. This guy just did 72 hours, is the record holder.
Damn.
Let's do it again.
Let's do it one more time.
Honestly, one more
this
time.
This time for reals.
We'll get it right this time?
Well, here's the thing. The guy really did break the record. Was this bookkeeping
twice.
Or video? You know, they
some
were
technical thing.
Super picky about the technical stuff. He really did break that twice. Now this guy's in the news for it.
This guy, Suresh Joaquin, claims to have broken his previous record, which was 69 hours, 48 minutes, set in 2005. Now he does 72 hours. They give him a record for breaking his own record. Davis dwarfed this guy.
Yeah, and we had a great time. Remember doing it down at Staples Center? Mm-hmm. And people came by and watched him watch TV. I mean, it was a lot of fun. We should totally do it again.
Dave, you up for it?
Okay.
Great.
That's good news.
So he'll be doing it. That'll be swell.
He wasn't happy about doing it the second time.
Nope. He was none too pleased.
Saying nope.com in my headphones.
Didn't he get a giant television screen out of it? Didn't he get he got two
TVs?
Yes,
he did.
Yes.
What, Omar? You got two TVs?
Yeah, he got one the first time and then another one the second time.
Dave, get your Mexican ass in here.
Guys, I'm serious about wanting to do it again. And I don't know if Dave would, but let's set it up over like final, you know, college basketball playoffs over Final Four weekend or something.
Oh,
where Dave's
going to
be watching
idea.
All
there's
the
no
games anyway.
The game. Here, Dave. Here,
that way there's
these.
Plenty of games going on.
You're doing it.
During the Final Four time, Dave, we'll put you in there.
March Madness?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Let's do it.
Okay.
Seriously, you're in? You do it?
Much easier than I thought. What do you mean no?
No way, dude.
Come on.
Dave, I've almost died twice doing
it. You didn't almost die.
Yes.
But what was the goal?
The goal was 100.
The goal was getting in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
No.
Okay, then it's a failure.
No, but
do
not,
you
not
want to be known
part.
As a failure?
You don't want to
hey,
fail.
Hey, you know, I didn't fail.
You don't
you
not
failed.
Trust us to get it right this time, right?
Technically, Dave's right. He did it right and we failed.
Yes.
But this time we're not going to. That's the difference.
Dave, how can you hear about this and hear about this guy getting all this international attention and making the book, yet he didn't do as much as you did? Does that steam you?
Because inside Bean, I know I'm a winner. And I know I won. And the listeners know I won. And
he almost did a full day less than you. You got the record.
Yeah. I'm done with it, man. I
don't
retire.
Don't be a pussy and do it.
I retire.
Right. We'll do it
again.
I'll
pass along the torch to
we'll do it again.
Someone else.
We'll do it again. We'll do
it's
it again.
It's confirmed.
All
we'll
right,
do it. It's
good.
All settled.
Dave's in. Good news.
Third time's a charm, baby.
Dave's just got too much going on in his life to do it now. And all those things he does.
You know what he does now? He watches TV at home all the time.
Exactly.
That'll get in the way.
But he has to forego sleep, though.
We're not asking him to change.
Dave that came back to forego sleep.
We're not asking him to change anything
I'm
about
in
his
love
life.
With my mattress.
All right, so we'll do it again. Thanks.
All right, good. Dave's in.
All right.
All right.
Good news.
That's a win. this Ticketmaster thing's just catching fire. Everyone hates Ticketmaster.
They sure do.
Now it's happening north of the border.
I'd like to suggest this is way too late in coming. This should have happened a long time ago.
It took Springsteen to motivate people.
Yeah.
Seems to be happening around the Springsteen sales more than we've ever heard before. But I mentioned weeks ago, in fact, we talked to the representative from New Jersey who was spearheading this investigation, this federal investigation into their business practices. Bruce Springsteen fans were buying tickets in Jersey, and they got immediately shuffled over to TicketNow, TicketsNow.com, the sister site of Ticketmaster.
What a surprise.
Where they sell previously owned tickets.
Sure.
At a hefty upgrade in terms of price. Well, same stuff's happening in Canada, and some angry customers there have banded together and filed a $500 million class action lawsuit against Ticketmaster.
Guys, do you know how many people have had bad experiences with Ticketmaster? If there was a
nationwide class action lawsuit, maybe it's something we should mobilize.
Tens of millions of people would be in it.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk to our lawyer on staff, Stephen Sachs, and see if he can spearhead our own lawsuit.
Like it.
Let's cripple them. Cripple them, I say.
I'm in.
All right.
You got me.
It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today. You can check out the new Lily Allen CD, It's Not Me, It's You. It's available today. Incredibad by The Lonely Island. That's, of course, Adam Sandberg.
Sure.
And his partner doing that album. Stems and Seeds by Ben Folds. What happened to The Five? Does he not work with The Five anymore?
I think The Five broke up.
Oh, that's not right.
Five left.
You should just get five more guys and call them the Bench Full of Five again. Who would know?
Hmm.
Paul's Boutique, the 20th anniversary vinyl LP edition, is dropping today as well by the Beastie Boys. DVDs in stores today. Knights in Rodantha. With Richard Gere and that other broad.
Sure.
Diane Lane.
Right.
Don't care.
W with Josh Brolin, available in stores today.
Right.
And Soul Men with Samuel L. Jackson and Bernie Mac.
The movie that killed all those guys.
What a way to go. What a way to go, Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Lauren Dern. No, Laura Dern is 42 years old today. Elizabeth Banks from Scrubs is 35. Emma Roberts turns 18 years old today. And Robert Wagner, famously number two from the Austin Powers movies, is 79. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Psycho Mike, you're going to be someplace this evening. Is that right?
That's right, Kevin. I'm going to be at Oakley's Barbershop in Westwood from 7 to 10 tonight. Stop by, get a Butterfinger buzz cut. And
is that a euphemism?
No,
it's a Butterfinger buzz cut.
Pretty much shave your head. Then you enter a chance to win a trip to Vegas for two nights and a year's supply of Butterfinger candy bars and a $2,500 gift card.
I think Bean was giving his dog the Butterfinger buzz cut, trying to separate him.
That's right. It'll be awesome.
All right.
Does it hurt to talk like that?
Yeah.
Psycho Mike, I'm sorry. Where is it again tonight?
Oakley's Barbershop in Westwood.
Westwood, okay. All right, wow.
Psycho Mike couldn't stand up here five minutes ago.
We sent him home.
He's going to get to Oakley's Barbershop to give people Butterfinger buzz cuts?
Some things are worth it, Ralph.
I don't think so.
Want to thank our special guest, the lovely Sheila Hershey, for joining us today with her 38 triple K boobs. You can see pictures of that and a link to her MySpace page on the Kevin and Bean section of KRock.com. Tomorrow, one of the biggest shows ever. Am I right?
Well, we have Crazy Bikini Girl from American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
Katrina.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have Lewis Black in studio.
Oh, so good.
And we have Sarah Shahi in studio. And more tickets for the Kevin and Bean horrible singles party.
All of that to tomorrow morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't miss us for Cinco de la Tarde again this afternoon at 5 as well. Cat Corbett's next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Second Chance from Shinedown, also some Nine Inch Nails, Rise Against Everlast, and more next time. With more tickets for the Kevin and Bean Horrible Singles Party in honor of Friday the 13th, the movie coming out this Friday. We're having a party this Friday night, and we'll give you some tickets between now and 6 o'clock and lots of other good stuff coming up. Kevin, you didn't watch the Tonight Show last night, I'm taking it.
I am not a big Jay Leno fan.
Yeah.
He had Spencer and Heidi on the show last night. Their 15 minutes of fame continues. Their first ever appearance on the Tonight Show. The first time Jay had ever met them. And we've got a couple of clips to play. But first, let's welcome Spencer Pratt himself joining us on the phone right now. Hey, Spencer. Welcome back. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, dog. What's happening, Chief?
How do you think it went last night on the Leno Show?
It couldn't have gone any better. You know, he listened to the ground rules that I laid down for him. What? And I think the interview was well worth the money I made off of it. You know what I'm saying? Sick.
What do you mean you made money off of it? I mean, meaning that they pay you a fee to be a guest on the show, you mean?
Sure. I mean, I told John Landis, the host of the Today Show, I said, meet me in my office, which is the bathroom stall at Hyde. And I said, you know, we got to discuss some things, dog. And I said, you know, I want to be relatable to the people, so try not to mention that I'm worth billions of dollars. Try not to make any mention to my rippling muscular physique.
Okay.
And obviously, let's just talk about my projects, not my impossibly good looks.
All right. Spencer, let's hear what Jay Leno decided to ask you last night, not being all that familiar with your TV show, The Hills. He first wanted to know, well, how you got the gig.
And Spencer, how did you get on this show? You're not an actor, right?
No. See, she was on, this is my amazing soon-to-be wife, was on The Hills, season one. Okay. My buddy Brody and I are watching MTV, and we're like, it's a reality show in Hollywood. We need to go get on this show, you know? And
so basically, you and Brody are gay and off watching TV, and you see people at the nightclubs that you go to, and you decide that's a way to make a living?
I said, look, a reality show is about keeping it real, and that's what I do, Chief. I keep it real. I figured, look, perfect fit, man. You know what I'm saying, Captain? Look at it this way. It's like Shakespeare said. Life is like a box of chocolates, and I'm only eating Godiva.
Shakespeare
Nobody
didn't
ever
say that.
Said that.
Pretty sure.
Hey, Linda, is that you?
It's Lisa.
All right, how's that diet coming?
She's fine. She doesn't need to go on a diet, Spencer.
Sure.
Why do you always say that?
Sure. wink, Chief.
Spencer, you brought up something that I guess I had forgotten about when you were talking about your job before The Hills. Here you are again from last night's Tonight Show.
Did you have a regular job? What did you do?
I had just created and produced for Fox The Princess of Malibu with David Foster. And
the Princess of Malibu? Yeah, what is that? Sounds very similar to The Hills, which sounds like Laguna Beach.
Yeah, I mean, it's all based on the same world of drama and, you know, people having fun. And the show got canceled after two episodes.
So you were a failure at being a TV producer, wouldn't you say, Spencer?
No, not at all. It's just I feel like maybe the regular people, a.k.a. poor people, were not prepared to deal with the reality of what it's like to be true royalty, American royalty, like Brigitte Brody, Spence Dog, my illegitimate Mexican wife with huge cans, Heidi, and all the rest of my peeps who, you know,
We hang out here in Malibu. This is how we live. Right now, I'm doing this interview. I'm on the toilet right now, looking at the high def.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
This
wow.
is the life I live.
Wow.
Yeah.
I sneeze right. Cristal, brah.
All right,
that's
one more clip, and this is, and I can't believe we're still talking about this, but you had the fake wedding down in Mexico, and now there's talk of a fake divorce, but are you really going to get married for real? Here's Jay asking you this on The Tonight Show last night.
Are you going to get married here?
Absolutely.
Look, are, look at
married? I think so.
You think so?
I think so.
But you're already married.
Well, there's a little tie-up here with her parents being on board with the marriage.
Oh, her parents are not on board with the marriage.
No,
not both. Just one.
We're working
just
on
my
the
mom.
Dad.
All right, why does Heidi's mom, I mean, she's right, she's correct to feel this way, but why? What is she doing to stand in the way of you two kids getting married, Spence?
She's acting up, you know? And if you act a fool, you get chin-checked. That's all I'm saying, okay? I might have to go over there, like my psychiatrist told me to, and put my finger in her.
That's the advice you got?
No, that's the advice that Bean's dog trainer gave him when they're fighting.
What a shocking coincidence.
Very different. Spencer, it seems like Jay Leno is the biggest softball interviewer in the world. He's laughing at you.
Well, you know, I mean, we went out and partied a little bit before.
Nope.
Jay and I had a steak at Dantana's. Mm-mm. Went to Pizzeria Moe's. I had a little butterscotch tour that you can't even get 9 weeks on the waiting list, but look how I live. And then, you know, we went out to Teddy's, ate some ecstasy, and that's how we roll, you know? So maybe he's just having a good time, you know, just rolling a little bit. Peace out, DJ Omar Khan. Thanks for those pills, bro.
Yeah, you know.
Wow.
Hey, wait a minute. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up in just a few minutes for a Tuesday afternoon. We have a, if I do say so myself, a pretty terrific website at KROQ.com, and Lightning and the team are doing a great job of adding new stuff all the time, new videos, new pictures, new links. There's a section in the Kevin and Bean page called Internet Roundup where we try to hook you up with all the funny stuff that we found for the week. It's definitely worth checking out, particularly if you like people, you know, you'd like to watch people lose it.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Never gets old, does it?
Nope.
Go to KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean. Click on Internet Roundup. At the very top is Awesome Freakouts. We actually put them all together because after Christian Bale.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Which was so great. I don't know what it is about watching celebrities lose it. For some reason,
people
it's
losing their minds is hilarious.
It really is.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's not about things that we care about all that much, but we have maybe 15 of them at the top of this list.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is Tommy Lasorda. If you're a Dodger fan for any amount of time, you have seen or heard his legendary explosions like this one.
And I guarantee you this, when I pitched and I was going to pitch against a team that had guys on it like Bavacqua, I sent a limousine to get the sucker to make sure he was in the motherfucking lineup because I kicked that sucker's ass any day in a week. He's a motherfucking mouth, I'll tell you that.
Now, Uncle wow. Tommy is the gold standard for that kind of language and that kind of energy and excitement, but he definitely does have some competition that you can find on this list.
There was a coach of the Arizona Cardinals named Dennis Green, who I believe used to coach the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that's right.
He has a legendary explosion on there as well.
We played him the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Coaches seem to have...
How?
Coaches, I mean, let's be honest. At least in the coach's situation, there's a lot of pressure to win.
Uh-huh.
It's very stressful. At least
they
you can,
will probably get fired if they don't.
At least you can see why they lose it.
Yeah.
Jim,
and those press conferences are 15 minutes after you've just lost,
yes.
in many cases, the playoff game that eliminates you from competition for the rest of the season.
There's angry NFL coaches. That's one of them. There's Bobby Knight, basketball coach, his famous top 10. There's Jim Mora, who was the coach of the Saints when he had this press conference.
It was a horse performance in the second half. Horse. I'm totally embarrassed and totally ashamed. Coaching, our coaching did a horrible job. The players did a horrible job. We got our ass kicked in that second half. It sucked. It stunk.
Wow.
That's good times.
Don't sugarcoat it.
You may not remember this, but there used to be a guy by the name of Casey Kasem who did the Top 40 Countdown.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always well known for being like super saccharine sweet, like like too nice to everybody, too sweet, too nice. And he has a legendary freakout where he's doing a long-distance dedication. It's great.
But he was most certainly a part of Let's Go Start Again from coming out of the record. Play the record, okay?
See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. It's a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a dog dying.
That's the best.
Yep, that was the legendary Snuggles dedication he was doing. Yep. If they had put that on the air, that show would still be airing. It would not have been canceled.
You're listening to Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Awesome Freakouts is at the very top. There are a whole bunch of them, including Kanye West. I don't know if you remember this from the MTV Video Music Awards. After he didn't win as many as he thought he should have.
MTV, tell them what the f*** I said. Y'all had these lights, man. 5 nominations. Lost the Black Eyed Peas last year, man. I'm never coming to MTV. Y'all find Britney. Get Britney. Get a real f***ing artist. Get Britney f***ing Spears.
Yeah, he was not happy.
He did end up coming back to MTV many times after that, by the way.
Yeah, very quickly, actually, oddly enough. And then, of course, there's Christian Bale. And I don't know if you've seen all of the different sites online where they've done remixes.
Yes.
Some of the remixes are spectacular. That one's strong.
That's great.
Funnier without the beeps, if I could be so bold.
Sure.
And then there's the remix of Christian Bale and Bill O'Reilly. I don't know if you saw the Bill O'Reilly.
I didn't.
Bill O'Reilly, back when he was on Inside Edition, 15, 20 years ago or something like that?
That's right, yeah.
He was losing it. I guess the teleprompter wasn't right, and he couldn't figure out what the guy was talking about. And so somebody has taken the Bill O'Reilly tape of him losing it and put it together with Christian Bale losing it.
I want you off the set, you...
Okay, but... Now, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
What don't you understand?
There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean, to play us out?
Sake, man, you're amateur.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean?
Oh, shut the up.
To end the show?
No! No!
All right, go.
You're unbelievable, man. You're unbelievable.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we will leave you with a... I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay. Let's go again.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Oh, good for you.
Thing sucks.
It's
almost like time travel is possible when you hear that.
It's all some good stuff. So go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, and you can find all of those links.
Walked by and said, "No."
Good mumbling.
I couldn't walk by because I had already died. But he walked by and said, "I died."
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
Ralph Garman has joined us in the room ahead of the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, we want to give away some more tickets for the Horror Bowl Singles Party that's going to be this coming Friday night. What?
No way.
Why no? How come? We got to give away.
We're not.
Oh, we are done.
We have some space.
We've oversold it.
Courtesy of New Line Cinemas, Friday the 13th in theaters everywhere. Our party is going to be this Friday night, the 13th. That's why it's the Horror Bowl Singles Party. And it's going to be at On the Rocks, just above the Roxy on Sunset Boulevard. Kevin will be at the Whiskey for about an hour, wondering where the rest of us are.
I did go there last year.
I went to the Whiskey.
Last time I was
where you guys?
I was walking out of Whiskey going, where is everybody?
I knew it was a bar on Sunset, so I just figured Whiskey.
You gotta be 21 and up. No host bar with drink specials. DJ Omar Khan will be spinning.
DJ Omar Khan.
If you want to go, you can call us right now. Callers 20 and 21 to join us at the Kevin and Bean Singles Party for Friday the 13th. 1-800-520-1067.
I knew it was a bar on Sunset. Just figured it was Whiskey.
I hadn't even been drinking. All right, I can't pull that. Never mind.
What's going on in the world of Hollywood today, Ralph?
I heard you guys do your little internet roundup segment there.
The freakout edition?
Yeah,
yes.
Freakout edition.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know about this.
What?
But I just watched the greatest clip ever on the internet.
A new
ever.
One? A new freakout?
It's not a freakout.
No.
It's better than that.
Okay.
It's the greatest clip ever in the history of the internet.
It's a That's pretty tough
saying
call.
Something.
Yeah, well, wait till you find out what it is.
All right.
Director Victor Solomon, and you can find this clip by going to victorsolomon.com. He's a director.
How do you spell Solomon? S-O-L-O?
S-O-L-O-M-O-N. All right. All O's. Not all O's, because his last name would be Ooh. But all the vowels in the last name are O's. Victor Solomon is a director who has worked on things, but in between projects, he has spent some time editing together every curse in the history of The Sopranos.
Awesome.
7, 8 seasons, whatever it was.
Are you kidding?
Every curse word uttered on The Sopranos, he has edited together into one 27-minute video clip.
What a massive undertaking.
It was.
Wow.
And he has just finished and is currently up on the internet. But if you have 27 minutes to burn, you can sit through every curse ever uttered on The Sopranos.
But it's not beeped. It's not edited.
Yeah, it's beeped.
I listen.
Every curse
How am I
beeped.
Supposed to
it
know?
Would just be
so it's
beeped.
Like, beep! 27 minutes, just one long tone.
That's what our company would make happen.
I know, but we're, right. Victor doesn't work for our company, luckily. It is every curse word, and I'll tell you, it is riveting. You can't turn away. It's an onslaught of profanity unlike anything you've ever endured before, but it is well worth it.
Awesome.
So maybe we should have a conversation with Victor Solomon. He seems like a guy with, well, time on his hands.
This is finally the best reason, the best, most solid justification I've heard for the internet.
Speaking of that man, David Letterman, on Monday night, he finally unveiled what we've all been waiting for, the 2009 Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover issue.
Yay!
On the cover this year, 23-year-old Israeli supermodel Bar Raffaelli.
Yeah, she's something.
Who is just insane. If you haven't seen this cover, you need to get yourself to your local newsstand and pick it up, because
she is hot.
She's wearing a swimsuit, and yet it's as if she's doing porn.
Yeah.
That's how hot she is. Her hotness just radiates right through the cloth of the swimsuit.
And it's not just Sports Illustrated either. You can look at any of the photos from any of... She is amazing from her career.
This is the sexiest cover I think they've ever had. Usually it's pretty girls in a nice bathing suit, and it's a very lovely picture, but this just oozes sex. Yeah. Especially when I'm done with it.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Hold on a second. I'll be right back.
What?
Where?
Is he going to take care of it right now?
Oh, he needed a rim shot, and there's a drum kit in the corner. Okay.
That's so hot.
Maybe we could set that up.
I needed a rim shot. I just had to get over there,
maybe.
No, it's good. I'm fine. Run over whenever I need one. I think the timing works out on that.
No, that was worth the wait,
too. Yeah. It is official.
What's official?
Ticketmaster and Live Nation have merged.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nobody objected?
You're kidding.
I objected. My hand was up. No one called on me.
Where's the antitrust people?
The government okayed that?
Yes, where are those antitrust people?
We have laws, people.
No, apparently not.
The two biggest forces in entertainment ticket sales have agreed to team up.
Oh, no.
Concert promoter Live Nation and ticketing giant Ticketmaster Entertainment said today that there will be an all-stock merger of equals. The combined company will be called Live Nation Entertainment. How convenient they're ditching that evil Ticketmaster name that everyone hates.
Or FU.
But it's
That's what they should have called it, Lisa. Yeah, hold on a second.
Hold on. Hang on. Drum kit in the corner. Hold on. Wait, try it again. There you go. Okay, that's good.
Now, I hate to be cynical here, but don't you think it's possible this will provide more entertainment choices at a lower price for the consumer?
I didn't hear what you said. I was running over from the drum set.
You're high.
Whatever you say.
Yeah,
that's what they always claim whenever anyone merges. They always say somehow it's ultimately going to benefit the consumer.
That's right. It's all capitalism, man. Whatever the market
will
bear.
I'm not a smart guy, but a monopoly to me seems pretty simple, and it seems like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad news.
So, I don't know what this means for all these lawsuits and stuff that are being brought up against Ticketmaster. I mentioned this morning on the show that there's a Canadian lawsuit. People who have been, in their opinion, tricked by going to Ticketmaster to buy tickets, then being funneled over to TicketsNow.com, which is the sister site owned by Ticketmaster, where they sell you previously owned tickets, in
quotes. For 5 seconds.
I don't know who owned them for how long. It seems like it's pretty automatic, but it's for a considerable hike in terms of the fees that they charge you for the prices. So
we're going to try to get the Kevin and Bean attorney on tomorrow to see if we can get a class action lawsuit going, because a lot of our listeners are ticked off.
We'll take Live Nation's money too. We're not proud. We'll take their money. Want to merge? Fine. We'll bilk you both. You'll be brought to your knees.
It sure doesn't seem like there would be an easier lawsuit to get behind.
Yeah.
And Jessica Simpson, early this morning, I did a review of Private Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jessica is not one to rest on her laurels.
It's a direct-to-DVD movie, for those of you that haven't heard of it, and it is every bit as bad as it sounds.
Not only is she a singing superstar and a brilliantly talented actress, she is now moving on to other endeavors.
Edie?
She has announced, yes.
Rimshot. Give me a rimshot.
Oh, come on. Oh, dear.
Is she, hey, poor Ralph is going to have a heart attack by the end of this show.
Is she eating?
Yes.
There we go. All right,
That's worth the time. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that works.
She is starting her own line of sleepwear.
Oh, okay.
Lingerie and sleepwear.
Nope.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes yards and yards of fabric just to make her a pair of panties.
Yeah.
She says that that's the first. Next up is going to be a line of luggage.
Luggage?
Yep. Which will be good for when Tony Romo moves out of her house. And
rim shot. Just saying.
And also, don't make the poor guy run back over there.
Also, bedding.
Bedding?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Bedding.
Oh, bedding.
Bedding.
Yeah. Oh.
Not betting, but okay. Bedding.
Yeah.
I have a cold, so they probably sound similar.
Okay.
And then comfy clothes, which she says she wears every day of her life. Oh, I bet they have stretchy waistbands.
That they do.
I bet you those clothes do. Hold on a second. Be right back.
Drum kit in the corner.
This is so sad. It's like when you're playing fetch with your dog, and your dog is just drop dead tired. You just keep throwing it.
Here's what
and
I like.
And then running and getting it.
Here's what I like. We could have put Ralph on the microphone right next to the drum kit. Yeah. Nope. Yeah. He's got to run all the way around the studio.
Think it out. Not at all, which is so well like us.
All right.
It is Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today. It's Not Me, It's You. The new Lily Allen CD is out in stores today. Incredibad. The Lonely Island. That's Adam Sandberg from Saturday Night Live and the hilarious comedy songs that he's been known for in that show. Stems and Seeds by Ben Folds. Also available today, Paul's Boutique, the 20th anniversary vinyl LP edition from the Beastie Boys. On DVD, Nights in Rodanthe, the Richard Gere movie with that chick.
Yeah.
Diane Lane.
W, Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Banks.
I find that most people can't get enough of George W. Bush. They really, they need more.
Well, he's been gone for a while. We miss him. We want to look back on his career and his life. And Soul Men, the Samuel L. Jackson, Bernie Mac movie. Also available today. Speaking of Elizabeth Banks, she celebrates her celebrity birthday today. 35 years old today. Emma Roberts, current star of Hotel for Dogs. She is the daughter of Eric Roberts.
Yeah, Eric.
And niece of Julia Roberts, 18 years old today. Laura Dern. Actress also has some famous parents. Her dad is Bruce Dern, another very talented actor. And her mom is Diane Ladd, 42 years old today. Robert Wagner turns 39, best known as number two.
He's only 39? That's shocking to me.
He's 79.
He said 39. That can't be.
He is number two from the Austin Power movies. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph is a little bit out of breath, isn't he?
He's sick, and we got him sprinting.
I got cold, I can't breathe, and I'm running back and forth from a drum set to a microphone. So,
we so perhaps need to
screw you!
A new studio setup. No, I enjoyed it very much. All right, tomorrow morning, huge Kevin and Bean show. I guarantee, I don't care how sick Ralph is, he will be here tomorrow.
Well, Katrina, crazy bikini girl from American Idol.
Yes.
Is going to come in the studio. We're going to talk to her.
She likes her some her.
She does?
Yep. She sure does.
Kevin and Bean horrible singles party tickets tomorrow morning. We'll give away some more of those as it is this Friday. Louis Black, funny man, in our studios tomorrow.
Great.
And a little actress from a little TV show called Life by the name of... I didn't even say her name yet. Sarah Shahi.
Loving it!
So that's all tomorrow morning.
Don't go anywhere, though. Nicole is up next with 60 minutes of nonstop K-Rock music. How about the latest from Rise Against? How about the latest from Nirvana? Oh, wait. How about something from Nirvana? Also, The Killers, Blink-182, New Papa Roach, and more. All after this on K-Rock.
That needs... Seriously. Because he said the latest from Nirvana. Say it again, Bean.
How about the latest... Oh, I mean, sorry. Something old from Nirvana. There you go.